I will.
Good on you, Webby. Have a great one, mate.
Thank you.
I'm Sarah Warmby. 4 months after losing the leadership spill he instigated, Peter Dutton has broken his silence in an extraordinary spray at Malcolm Turnbull, calling the deposed Prime Minister spiteful and indecisive. The Home Affairs Minister told Brisbane's Sunday Mail that Mr Turnbull had brought about his own downfall through his lack of political nous. Mr Dutton said Malcolm Turnbull had a plan to become Prime Minister, but no plan to be Prime Minister. He said Mr Turnbull didn't have former Liberal PM John Howard's touch, judgment or ability to deliver the message. A mother has drowned at a lake after trying to save her child on the same day the Victorian government launched an online water safety campaign. The 34-year-old woman was with two of her young children when one of them started to struggle in the water while swimming at Lake Victoria near Barnsdale in eastern Victoria. Police Sergeant John Hodder says the woman's husband tried to save her.
The children have raised the alarm. The husband has attended and unfortunately has retrieved the wife from the water, who was unable to respond to any assistance.
Earlier yesterday, Emergency Services Minister Lisa Neville said an online safety message campaign would be expanded and be more targeted at those deemed at high risk of drowning. A tourist has died at a popular beach on Queensland's Sunshine Coast. Police say the 58-year-old man, understood to be a tourist from outside Australia, was pulled unconscious from the surf yesterday. The man was treated by paramedics at the scene but did not survive. A 31-year-old Adelaide man has been charged after he allegedly drove around in a stolen car threatening other motorists with a gun. Police were called on Friday afternoon and officers raided a Trott Park home, arresting the man and allegedly finding a handgun and magazine in a car that was stolen from a business on Boxing Day. The man has been charged with illegal use of a motor vehicle, 2 counts of aggravated assault and possessed firearm without a licence, and was remanded in custody to appear at the Christie's Beach Magistrates Court tomorrow. A day after the fatal bus bombing near Giza's world-famous pyramids, Egypt's military says raids on the hideouts of the suspected terrorists have left 40 militants dead. The BBC's Simon Ponsford has more.
Egyptian officials said the raids targeted the hideouts of militants who were allegedly planning attacks on the police, the army and tourists. The Interior Ministry said 30 militants were killed in the Giza governorate and a further 10 died in the North Sinai region, where there's been widespread unrest. The Egyptian authorities made no direct link to the bomb that hit a tourist bus near the world-famous Giza pyramids on Friday, killing 3 Vietnamese tourists along with their tour guide. But Egypt relies heavily on the revenue from foreign tourism, and the attack has clearly unnerved the authorities.
And flights were suspended at Hanover Airport in central Germany today after a man tried to drive onto the facility's apron. Federal police say the man has been detained. This is Air News. A brace to Sydney FC striker Adam Lafondra and an Andrew Redmayne penalty save has piled further pain on Brisbane Roar, beaten 2-1 by the Sky Blues at Jubilee Oval. Still reeling from John Aloisi's decision to stand down as coach on match eve, the Roar conceded the lead 10 minutes into the second half. In the EPL, Watford drew 1-1 with Newcastle. There were wins for Brighton, Cardiff, Fulham and Wolverhampton. Pat Cummins has put on a career-best 61 not out in the third test at the MCG. Australia is 8 for 258 in pursuit of 399 on day 5. Nathan Lyon is 6 not out and says the Aussies won't give up.
We're not going to come and sit here and say we're going to score 140 and Pat's going to score 200 and I'm going to score 20. We're not going to sit here and say that, but what we're going to do, we're going to show a lot of fight. It's a massive honour to play Test Match cricket for Australia, and we're not going to give this Test Match up lightly.
Australia have claimed their opening tie of the Hopman Cup against France in Perth after a come-from-behind victory from Matt Ebden. Ebden shrugged off a 6-3 opening set loss to beat Lucas Poyen 3-6, 7-6, 6-2. Earlier, Ash Barty 7-5, 6-3 win over Elise Cornet got the hosts off to a perfect start. And Giant centre Andrew Bogut continues to make a compelling case for NBL MVP honours in his maiden season by inspiring the Sydney Kings to a 75-68 victory over the Brisbane Bullets. Australian Independent Radio News.
Whoever you're backing on New Year's Day at Randwick, Tab's got you covered with a $100,000 projected Big Six pool. That's right, $100,000 at Randwick. Don't miss a minute of the action and watch every race live on the Tab app, with more Sky Racing than any other app, including Sky One, Sky Two and Sky Thoroughbred Central. Who are you backing? Tab. Download the app and visit your local. Terms and conditions apply. See tab.com.au for details. Gamble responsibly.
Fertile grass, rich soils and expert horse people give New Zealand thoroughbreds a winning edge. Graduates of New Zealand Bloodstock's yearling sales scored 120 stakes wins and 18 Group 1 wins last season alone. They've laid claim to the last five consecutive Australian Oaks and five out of the seven Australasian Group 1 guineas last season. Destined for racetrack stardom, over 1,200 yearlings are on offer at Karaka this summer. New Zealand Bloodstock, where winning begins.
She had to catch it, and that's exactly what happened. Usman Khawaja gets the catch. Paddy Cummins, six, if you don't mind. Career best figures for Patrick Cummins.
That is absolutely majestic. With an average of 108.08. Michael Wenger is through to the quarterfinal.
Now Williams back on the right foot off.
Sky Sports Radio, welcome to the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend. Here's your hosts, Jimmy Smith and Ray Thomas.
Yeah, excellent start to the show, isn't it, Ray? And that was put together by producer Steve and panel operator Hamish, and now I guess the pressure's on you and I after that fantastic start.
Early wrap for the good guys here.
Yeah.
Most unusual,
too. Must be Christmas, New Year period or something.
It might be the last one, Steve and Hamish. After 10 o'clock.
I must be well rested or something. Usually you're having a go at me about this time on a Sunday morning.
No, I don't. I'm surprised you're not in an angry mood like me at the cricket. At the cricket.
You know why? I tell you why. And you look to things and you try to find a positive out of the mess that is the Australian performance at the MCG. And just quickly, India, 443 for 7 declared, Australia 151, India 106 for 8 declared. What happened to the benign pitch conditions of the first two
Something
days?
Something happened after on the night of day two, James.
Must have.
Tell you what.
In fairness, it's actually not a bad response by Australia, isn't it? 258 in a fourth innings. It's like, oh, well, that's not too bad. However, they need 399 for victory. Pat Cummins, after taking career best figures, bowling first change, as he has done all this summer, and whether he should be doing that is a separate argument, has come out and used proper technique.
He bats really well, actually.
Applied himself to the task.
Yes. Got behind the ball.
As you rightly point out, put a price on his wicket, and is now 61 not out.
Middle order. Khawaja, 33. Marsh, 44. Travis Head, 34. One of those guys needed to go on and make a big 100. Mitch Marsh, again, fell cheaply for 10. But the Australian top six has been the problem all series, James. Usman Khawaja, I guess you can make some excuses for him because he was coming off that long injury life, had virtually no cricket straight into the test team. He's had a couple of glimpses there, but just hasn't quite gone on with it. But Aaron Finch's opener, not working.
No.
Mitchell Marsh has come in again.
Mate, just on that. They must have had great faith, those people who thought that Aaron Finch could work as a
good point,
test opening batsman.
He doesn't even open for Victoria.
No.
Bats middle order, which is straight. And he averages about 44 in the middle order in Sheffield Shield, not as an opener.
You know what happens here? And this is where selecting is different to coaching. And you see it a lot in rugby league, but I'll see it now in cricket. You get caught up in personalities. Aaron Finch is now he's captain of the short form game,
yep.
And no doubt great around the dressing room and has developed a strong relationship now with Justin Langer. And then he, we'll give him a go. Where really, you need someone in the cold, hard light of day to show you the numbers and say, sorry, he's not a test opener.
Now, on that very issue,
yes.
On that theme,
yes.
That is the problem. This is Australia's current top six. There's not that many players knocking on the door to get in. There's one player I know you want to see in, and I don't disagree with you, but that's the problem at the moment, James. There's not enough guys in Sheffield Shield cricket scoring enough runs to command a spot in that top six.
Why? Well, and this is the thing. Why? Mm. What's the schedule? What's happened to the schedule over the last five or 6 years?
The Big Bash.
Correct.
It's taken over it.
Correct.
Yeah.
And it's a cash cow for Cricket Australia.
Sheffield Shield's been shunted into late spring.
And then
almost disappeared over the summer period. When we need players in Sheffield Shield making runs to tell the test players, hang on, look over your shoulder, we're
absolutely.
Right here. And it's not
absolutely.
Happening.
Absolutely. So it's a scheduling issue as much as it is a performance issue. And yes, maybe the relevance of the Sheffield Shield has been knocked back a peg or two by... Well, Cricket Australia, former high performance managers, etc. But this is the outcome.
Remember the days when Australian cricket used to pride itself on having the strongest domestic competition in the world? That was Sheffield Shield cricket. And that was a fertile ground for some of Australia's best players. Remember back 10 years ago, we could have a second or third 11 top six batsmen who would be virtually test players in any other country. They couldn't get a look in because our test top six was so... rock solid.
20 years ago, Australia A used to play Australia and give them a run for their money.
It did, yeah.
Yeah.
There is one player.
Well, actually, Australia A might give Australia a run for their money.
They could do now.
The batting
to
us says, yeah.
So that top six, that's the issue. The problem is who can come in. There's one player you're advocating for a return to test match cricket.
Joe Burns is averaging just under 40 in his 14 tests, and he's averaging just over 50 in his Sheffield Shield performances this year. He's a correct opener. He's an opener to start with, and I think he's a guy who should come back in. You've got to remember, in 3 months' time, two of the five best batsmen in the world will be eligible. So your two worst drop out.
Yeah.
Right? So your two worst drop out. And that is the unique situation that currently Australia find themselves in.
A lot of people are saying, does Warner necessarily come straight back in? Smith, I think, does. I think Warner does as well. You need to have him back there. As you said, they're two of the top five batsmen in the world. Australia's top six is not functioning. When you've got two of the best players in the world, they've got to come back in for the Ashes.
I'd like to point people to an article written by Malcolm Knox. I don't know whether it was published yesterday. I certainly read it yesterday, and it was fantastic talking about... This is a collection of 11 individuals that are loosely called the Australian team. And basically it said, because there is rarely a concept of team in cricket, unless you're playing with friends, then it becomes a team.
Yeah.
He said, really, it's 11 individuals who are all doing their best for themselves, got their own management team, got their own deals in place. That because of that situation that exists in the Australian side, then it would be very easy for David Warner to come back into the side. Cricket is that game.
It's an individual game.
More than any other.
Stats, yeah. So what he's saying is it's not one team like the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend show.
Yeah, and look, I'm a little bit like Malcolm. I wish I could be a part of that team.
You know what's coming.
We've got our own management. We all do our own deals.
It is a very, very good point. To a certain extent, players live and die by their stats.
Yes.
As a test match batsman, you've got to, hopefully get in the 40s, into the 50s. And as a test match bowler, you want to take wickets at less than 30. Interesting stat about Hazelwood and Stark, who, along with Cummins and Lyon, I think people generally agree, probably the best bowling attack in world cricket at the moment.
But yes.
The stats tell a different story. This year, Hazelwood and Stark are both averaging in the 30s for their test match wickets.
Why is that?
We did have test matches overseas in, was it Pakistan, in Dubai?
Why is that, Ray? Malcolm Knox suggests even further that there was surprise from Stuart Broad during the Ashes series last year about how Australia was able to get the ball to go reverse. Now, remember, at the taking of every wicket, the ball is thrown to the umpire.
Mm-hmm.
You check the ball. Is it okay? Play on. Right?
Mm-hmm.
And you've got to remember that in the Cape Town test match, that same thing happened. When they take wickets, the ball, they check the ball. Right? So, for whatever reason, now whether it's David Warner not being there or David Warner's equivalent of not working on the ball. And remember, here's the other thing. Cricket Australia have only looked at that in isolation. They looked at that test match, the third one, at Cape Town, and looked at it in isolation. They didn't look at anything that happened beforehand. And yet we know that the South African cricketers asked the local broadcasters
to watch
to follow
player.
The ball because of what they thought was happening in the two previous test matches.
Very interesting article by Ian Chappell in today's Sunday Telly. Have you read that?
Read the quote.
Anyone who thinks there were only three people involved in the conspiracy, a la South Africa, still believes in Santa Claus.
Absolutely. Hope you did get from Santa Claus what you were hoping for. Did you get, Ray? Did you get anything from Santa?
I had a great day. Yeah, we were looked after. Had
any specific present, your big Santa present?
To me, it wasn't about that. To me, it was about I got the chance to have breakfast on Christmas morning with my daughter and my son, first time in a long time. Had lunch with my son, caught up with Tanya's family in the afternoon, so it was a great, great day.
I'm much more materialistic than you, so I'm going to show you the new ones and twos.
The blues.
Hey, how good are they? That.
Yeah, yes. As Pamela operating the hangar, not on TV today, James, but they're bright blue.
They are bright blue.
You know, jogging those?
And they're a lot faster than the other ones.
Oh, here we go.
Well, I hope they are. Anyway, that's
you
what they're
jogging those.
That's what the slogan told me. That's what the slogan told me.
They look a bit heavy, though.
So we'll take people's thoughts on what Australia should be doing from a selection point of view. All is lost. We can't see Pat Cummins and Nathan Lyon doing an Alan Border and Jeff Thompson, can we?
One thing about those two guys, they will try.
Oh.
And it's not their job to try and score 100. How many behind them? 130-odd behind still, James?
Yeah, 130.
Yeah, Pat Cummins has done an unbelievable effort in this test match with bat and ball in both innings.
Yes.
Nathan Lyon, he's got the heart of a lion. He'll give it his all, but just too much for the bowlers to do again.
But let's remember, this could be a history-making series for India.
They
will lead the series 2-1. And if they win the toss in Sydney, they're going to be very hard to beat. We'll take your thoughts on that. 1353-53, the open line number. The big bash last night, it was the Sixers. They defended 132, I don't know how, 9 for 99. Well done to Ben Menenti.
Debut.
In his first game, 2 for 13, bowling the offies, who is the son of John Menenti, who is the coach of the Australian Women's Rugby Sevens team.
Got a pedigree, sporting pedigree, young Ben. 4 overs, 2 for 13 with offies in Big Bash. Unheard of.
How good a player is Tommy Curran, too?
Yeah,
he has brought something to the Sydney Sixers. We'll speak to Stuart Clark a little bit later on in the program to talk Big Bash and talk about that test v India as well. Racing yesterday at Royal Randwick, and I don't know, we've got James Cummins on the program a little bit later. We're asking, why is Elise racing at this time of year? She's a star.
Absolutely fantastic. It was good, actually, to go to a midsummer meeting and see a genuine Group 1 horse like her. And the reason she is racing at this time of year, because she missed the spring, James, without bleeding attack.
Bleeding, yes.
She's a massive mare. She tips the scales about 600 kilos. And when you see her race and alongside other horses, you realise how big she is. She is a hulking mare.
Yeah.
And, James, so we needed to get her up to racing condition before the autumn, because she's missed the whole spring. So she was terrific. James, some good news for Sydney sporting fans. Sydney Kings have won again last night, beating Brisbane 75-68. They stay top of the ladder in the NBL. And Sydney FC had a good win at Cogra. Love watching the A-League at Cogra. 2-1 over Brisbane as well. They go back to equal lead in the A-League.
And we'll have a chat with Phil Moss to talk English Premier League results. Apparently,
go the good guys.
Apparently, Liverpool had a win.
And Rangers beat Celtic. How about that? First time in years. 1-0.
How'd Leeds United go? That's all you need to know now, and you've got your trifecta up, haven't you?
Holy Trinity.
Time now to release our talk topic. By the way, thank you very much for the nominations that are coming through on social media. I know Parramatta suggested who would you like to have as your top six in the Australian batting lineup. Is it the Sydney Sixers WBBL side or the Putney under-10s? And some of the performances for the Putney under-10s
have been outstanding.
Yeah, very strong. However, I just wonder, against a barrage of short pitch bowling, how they go. So that's my only concern around the Putney under-10s, Ray. But
fair enough.
What we're doing is our talk topic today, highlights, lowlights, most memorable moments of 2018. Yeah. This is our swan song for 2018, too, by the way.
Can you inspire this one? Like it, so you can go first, James.
All right. Highlight, New South Wales State of Origin win.
Yep, fair enough.
Game two out there at ANZ Stadium. and New South Wales win the series. So I thought that was outstanding. Brad Fittler, well done. I was there. Yep. I was actually calling it. The first time I've ever called a State of Origin game. So that was a little bit of a personal highlight. Always good to get yourself into your sporting highlight of the year somehow.
Hang on, listen to that. It's very good.
Low light, clearly what happened in Cape Town 9 months ago. I tell you what, it ruined some careers.
Yep.
From David Peaver down.
Mm, it did.
People did
left
not
some bodies.
Handle.
Left some bodies.
Did not handle what transpired over there at South Africa. We were on air that morning.
Mm.
We thought it was a big story at the time, and it clearly is. Most memorable moment. Cooper Cronk's performance in the grand final will go down in the annals of rugby league history as the most remarkable one selection and then two execution of
a plan. Massive gamble, wasn't it?
Unbelievable.
In a grand final.
A 12-man Sydney Roosters side.
And they played around him so well, didn't they? Especially in defence.
If you look at receipts of halves and 5/8s, generally speaking, it's 50-40 or 45-45, or there might be 55-35 around your half and your 5/8. Luke Keary had about 85 receptions and Cooper Cronk 12.
Because he could hardly pass.
He couldn't move his arm.
But just his presence and his commanding of his players in certain positions, his presence on the field was what the Roosters needed, and so courageous. But not only his part, but on the coaching staff.
The selection, to start with it. The selection. And nothing was leaked during the course of the week. No one knew. Is he playing?
Mm.
An hour and a half before the game, they said, is he playing? Well, I heard he is. And I heard he wasn't. We didn't know until he ran out there in jersey number 23.
Yeah, three good ones, James.
Jersey number 23. Mm. What about you, Roman?
Highlight was bringing back the Ashes in January last this year.
Didn't we win the Ashes earlier than that?
We did, but it was a celebration of the Ashes win. Can I run something past you, James?
Yes.
Do you remember that SCG match?
Go on, run it past me. I was there.
Yeah, I got the score. Could I remember the scorecard here?
Yeah.
This is our first innings. We only need to bat once. 7 declared for 649.
Mm.
Now, our batsman that day, Warner got 56. Kawaj got 171. Steve Smith, 83. Sean Marsh, 156. Mitchell Marsh, 101. Three centuries and an 80 and a 50 in our top six.
Look who was not out at the end.
Our man Pat Cummins.
24 from 16 balls.
Yeah,
so.
And they rolled England for 180 in the second innings to win the Ashes are already won, but the celebration of the Ashes.
Okay, so the Ashes, your low light?
Not copying yours, but South Africa.
Yeah.
It was horrendous.
Yep.
And my most memorable moment was Winx's fourth Cox play. It's one of those, you know, I was there moments to have, like your say of origin, and just to be there to see who win a fourth Cox plate, that's a piece of sporting history, not racing history.
Fifth?
No.
No?
She'll be a mum, or going to the breeding farm.
Okay, so the autumn will be it.
That's it, swan song for the great man.
Okay, we'll get excited about that. There you go. So highlights, lowlights, and most memorable, and we'll have a Big Sports Breakfast pack to give away. We'll get a cap and a T-shirt and a Sports Year diary, courtesy of sportsyear.com.au. And a Winx book, of course. A Winx book, of course.
Second print run.
Hang on a minute. Seriously, when are you going to do a public reading of one of the chapters?
You've already read it, James.
Can we do that?
We can't do it.
Where would we do it? Miranda Fair? Somewhere down Westfield Miranda or somewhere like that?
You are kidding.
Panthers. Panthers.
And Ossos.
And then after Ossos, you have, what's your favourite dish there?
The filet mignon.
So you buy the filet mignon, and then up on stage is Ray Thomas. He's just
seriously. You know what? I'll let my chin in, so I deserve that. Yeah.
To Sporting Hall of Fame champion.
Tease your ass, man.
All that coming up on the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend Edition. 1353-53. Call us now. 23 minutes past 7.
Mum, the deals at the Bingley Bigger Than Big Sale are unbelievable.
I don't believe you.
How about this? Save up to $1,000 on large screen TVs from the top brands like Samsung, LG, Sony and many more.
Up to $1,000 off large screen TVs.
Save up to $200 on top brand soundbars.
Up to $200 off soundbars.
Yep.
I believe you. These deals are unbelievable.
The Bigger Than Big Sale on now at Bingley.
Summer is a great time to play catch-up, whether it's with the cricket, tennis, or on those projects around the house. Get inspired for your home reno with Wideline Windows and Doors. Whether it's awnings at Avalon, sliding windows at Seven Hills, or bifolds at Broadmeadow, all backed by a 7-year guarantee. Take a closer look at the stylish range of Wideline windows and doors. Get started today by visiting wideline.com.au.
Fierce Impact inside the 100, three quarters in front. He keeps kicking, and Fierce Impact breaks through today, beats the Turno race.
On Sky Sports Radio, you're tuned to the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend with Jimmy and Ray.
And welcome back to the show, and have some plenty of feedback. This is one from Craig from Tamworth. I think it makes a lot of sense too, Jimmy. Morning, boys. I think the Aussie quick bowlers are averaging in the 30s because the batsmen are not batting for long periods of time and therefore not giving the quicks enough time to rest in between innings. That's a very, very good point. They're back on the field so quickly, aren't they, at the moment?
They train for that.
Yeah, oh, still. This also impacts their confidence and has a flow-on effect, but I also think Pat Howard's resting the bowlers has a lot to answer for as well.
Yeah.
You were an advocate of that.
Yeah.
The Pat Howard system.
No. The resting.
Yeah. Bowlers want to bowl.
All they want to do is bowl.
Yeah. 100%. So anyway, no, a lot of things. A very good point, Craig. Racing at Randwick yesterday. Gee, we saw an impressive performance by a horse called Mr. Songman.
Whoa.
Listen to this.
Mr. Songman gets four in front coming up the rise. Good Weather's plodding away in second. Generalissimo trying to make ground. And then came Mr. Tickets, but Mr. Songman is in one race, the rest in another. And the former Tassie horse opens up the Sydney account. Look at him go. Mr. Songman, with the blinkers on, has absolutely blitzed his rivals. Generalissimo second. Nick is in a twist grab third. Not sure about four.
Well, if you're going to go out there as a $1.55 favourite, that's how you want to win.
Mm.
It was absolutely outstanding in the famous colours of Tullock Lodge. Mm. Now, we've got Adrian Bott coming up very shortly. What's next for Mr. Songman, Roman?
Well, you'd think they just picked their way through the grades. The prize money's so good and it's there for the taking for him this time of year. But is he too good a horse to be racing during the summer, James? Because he went 120.55 for the 1,400. That's 0.22 outside Trapeze Artist course record. That is extraordinary gallop.
And the last 600 was in a sizzling time as well. So the time stacks up as well. It wasn't just a trick of the eye.
And we win by 7 lengths and you run that sort of time over 1,400.
Yep.
There's no fluke about it. He's a promising horse. John O'Shea was back from Canada. He said it was minus 20 over there. Got back into Sydney, plus 30 yesterday. So a massive difference. But he wasn't complaining. It was live and free. Tremendous win. Great ride, Tom Marquand.
Line of four up front now. Turnberry, Lawsall, Trafalgar and Temprado pulled out early. Then came Drockish behind. Further back to Island Missile, Zippity-Doo-Dar up the rise and Lawsall lays it down to Turnberry. Turnberry the inside of Lawsall. Drockish goes to third. Temprado's dropped out. It's Lawsall. Turnberry live and freeze dashing up behind. Right into a dead end. Zippity-Doo-Dar comes through the middle. It's Turnberry, Lawsall. Live and free gets the run now. Island Missile the outside. Live and free goes home best. Live and free beat Island Missile and Turnberry.
Well, Tom Marquand in race one was able to go up the inside rail on Movie Roll, and we're going to speak to Tom a little bit later on in the program as well. And then he thought he'd do the same thing on Live and Free, block for a run. Tried the next one, block for a run. Then he finally got some
brave ride.
Well done.
Yeah.
Julie Woodward and Gary Manning, part owners in Live and Free. It's been a tough year.
Did you contact them
for Gaz? I didn't, but I contacted Julie's brother, Scott, and congratulations to them. That was a fantastic win. Great win from Live and Free.
How's Gary going? Is he slowly on the mend?
I haven't got the latest update, but I'll get an update. Well, but I think things have been improving since a car accident on the way back from a Parramatta Eels game in this year.
Well, we wish them both well, and particularly Gary, and hope that recovery continues to progress.
And we had Julie on the program, remember?
We did, it was tremendous. Yeah. So that would have given a big fillip. This was tremendous to watch. You love watching outstanding racehorses, and Elise is just that. She dominated the Christmas Classic.
Fell Sweep turns the corner in front by a length on My Favourite, Boss Lane, and Elise starting to cruise up to them on the outside. Problem Solvers coming off heels. Fell Sweep being tackled now by Elise, and Elise resuming storm to the front inside the 150 from Fell Sweep. Then came Hussein Eagle. She's back. Elise, barnstorming victory first up. Elise by two lengths to Hussein Eagle. Three-way.
You know how I have my spies within the Godolphin camp, and I was speaking to them on Friday, and I said, you know, how's Elise going? And they said, yeah, quality horse. I think she win. However, my only concern is such a big mare, and it might take her a little time. She might tire in the last 100 metres. Not a problem for the two-time Group 1 winner. As a result of that, Raymond, we get the All-Star Mile. Winx, $1.80.
Unlikely.
Not determined whether she's going to turn up yet. Mm-hmm. The Autumn Sun, $6.
Unlikely.
Elise, $15, along with D'Argento and Grunt. So that and Kementari at $15 as well.
Yeah, early doors here with that race. Plenty of water to flow under the bridge, but I don't think Winx or the Autumn Sun will be there, but things can change.
So if that's they're not there, do we get a name change and just call it the Star Mile? Because all the stars aren't there.
I know
right?
what you're saying.
Yeah.
Good point. Another impressive win yesterday from the Godolphin camp. James, get the tip on this one. His name is Deprive. Hugh Bowman again. He'll win better races than this.
And Deprive in the blue jacket is running seventh as they turn. Mad Farad in front from Jungle Eyes, Blue Tycoon, then Nicolins. Deprive is getting to the outside and Capperjack needs some clean air. Mad Farad leads at the 250, but here comes the favourite Deprive. Quickly, Deprive moved up now to join Mad Farad and take the lead. Capperjack's out, three lengths away. Deprive going well at the 150. Capperjack can't pull back the margin. Down the outside, after all, that challenging for the Quinella spot, but Deprive wins it impressively again. After all, that did grab second.
James Cummings on the phone, and we'll ask a lot to ask about because he had a winner at Tally that's into the Magic Millions up there at Doomben as well. So, yeah, Deprive. No, I didn't get the mail on Deprive from my spies within the Godolphin camp. I instead went to my spies within Sydney Racing Media for that tip.
Okay. You get on?
That was you.
Yeah, go you good thing.
Thank you. Yes, I did.
Just a quick aside, James. In the last,
yes,
a mare's race, Clipper won, Savan ran third. Both mares are pregnant. They're in foal.
Right.
On occasion, you see a mare race in foal. I can't ever recall, and if our listeners can, please tell me, two mares in the same race competing in foal. Clipper's won, Savan's run through. That was Savan's last start. I think it'll be Clipper's last start. Highly unusual. There you go.
Yeah. Yeah, one of those
little quirky
anomalies,
things.
Yeah.
Big day at Doomben yesterday. Some stakes races leading into the Magic Millions Carnival. The first is the two-year-old. Big boom on Just Serene. Tony McAvoy's Sun City. James McDonald, too good.
Just the Rain still back third. Larson very wide at the 350. 11-11 laying it down to Mashani Spirit. Sun City's up to third. Rhymes up to fourth. And Just the Rain still six or seven lengths off them. On the outside, Sun City 11-11. Rhyme down the outside, but Sun City broke clear from 11-11. Rhyme on the outside, but Sun City's in front from Rhyme at the 50. Sun City in front. Rhyme lifting, but Sun City's holding Rhyme. Sun City in front, and Sun City a neck to Rhyme. Third, Cremerica was wonderful from the back.
Sounds like a competing bids for the Olympics, doesn't it? Yeah. Rome up against Sun City. Yeah. There you go. Unite and Conquer, $5 favourite for that Magic Millions two-year-old race. We're looking forward to that. That's only a couple of weeks away.
Correct. January 12.
Dubious and yes, yes, yes. City Ford says yes more often at $5.50.
A little plug for your men. And it won yesterday well at Mooney Valley. Yes, yes, yes.
Yes, yes. Yes. And Rome and Sun City at $9.
Difficult to call, wouldn't it?
Wouldn't
yes,
it?
Yes, yes,
yes. Yes. Yes.
You mentioned Godolphin had a big day, not only in Sydney, but also at Doomben. They had Tally winner stakes race. They had three mares line up in the last. They've gone 1-2. James Cummings, Godolphin's mares, Manicure and Demerara.
Cram Mistress just a leader from Manicure. They're clear from Warranty. Adora Dancer, Prue's Angel, Demerara. Jordan's over on the inside from Stella Victoria, but Manicure dash clear. Our Cram Mistress trying to rally back. Warranty's up to third. Demerara's on the outside, but it's all Manicure on the last and kept going. Manicure leads home. Godolphin, Quinella are getting up the run. Second there was Demerara. Third is either.
Just out of interest, and this is unrelated to that race per se. How many race replays did you sneak in there this morning?
That was six.
Number That's six,
it.
Was it?
About the average, isn't it?
Now, see, look, producer Steve now is even shaking his head.
Even Tanya was.
Somehow, when I think you and I have discussed at length what the correct number should be, could be, and would be.
Now, your order was, yeah.
Somehow, you've got six in there.
I don't know how I managed to do that.
I thought you'd be in a kind of mood. Well, I was earlier.
Okay.
As soon as we get the fifth, I think, hang on a minute.
Hey, Michelle from Dubbo. Happy New Year to you, Michelle. She's chimed in with some pictures of her new
Her new blue sneakers.
We're going to take a photo of my sneakers in the break and tweet them out. Michelle, very, very similar shoes to the ones you have.
New wheels, she said.
Yeah, no, the wheels, I'm with you. 1353-53, the open line number. And look, just before we go to a break, and we'll come back with your calls, Don from Carlton's crept out from under his rock.
You can't say that.
Yes, I can. Hell of a rock, too, by the way.
You can't say that.
The Elysee of Carlton. Don. What a sad Sunday morning. Jimmy Dinosaur and Ray Dinosaur lamenting the impact of the decline of Sheffield Shield competition on the performances of the Australian Test Cricket team. No one cares, fellas. Test cricket is on life support and incapable of resuscitation. Don from Carlton.
Well, he's talking to people like you and I who absolutely love our Test cricket. It's pretty tough.
Don, as long as the game of cricket is played around the globe, Test cricket
is number one.
Will be the preeminent form of the game.
At least to you and I anyway.
Exactly. Certainly on a Sunday morning between 7 and 10. That's the way it rolls. 1353-53, the open line number. It is now 26 minutes to 8 on the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend Edition.
Inglis graduates dominated the spring three-year-old classics. Extra Brute in the Derby.
He's strong. He wins the Derby. Extra Brute from Statham.
Aristia in the Oaks. Sun in the Guineas. Where will the smart buyers be in 2019? English.com.au.
The very best of US racing 7 days a week. Live and exclusive across the Sky Racing Network.
Be rewarded at Panthers, James, with Panthers' new loyalty program, Panthers Rewards. There's never been a better time to be a member of the Panthers family.
If you sign up to be a member right now, does that give you exclusive access into the book reading? The chapters?
Well, no, but what it does do, because for only $5, members receive over $1,000 worth of rewards. That's the most important point, Jim. Earn Panthers points every time you make a purchase and redeem your points throughout the club, including at all restaurants and bars like Osso's and Panarottis.
Yes.
If you're not already a Panthers member, join now for just...
$5.
You were taking notice, I'm surprised. And be rewarded. If you're a member already, renew now. Details at panthers.com.au.
If there's one bloke I want to get along to that reading of the chapter, it's Andrew Martin, our colleague here at Sky Racing. You won't need love it. Actually, maybe even Andrew Martin could play the role of Ray Thomas.
He could do it better than me.
He does a better Ray Thomas than Ray Thomas.
He's the best. He's the best.
Across, here we go.
Sky Sports Radio, you're tuned to the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend with Jimmy and Ray.
Yeah, welcome back to the program. Lots of people wanting to have their say. We're looking for our highlights, lowlights and most memorable moments of 2018. Paul from Huskisson has chipped in. All the best for the New Year's, guys. Hey, what a mixed bag of sporting highs and lows, or A-holes and heroes. A-holes, those protesting against Wild Oats 11. Well, they got rolled. And then there's Pat Cummins, the Aussie hero. What a top young man. Future captain, question mark. I heard Ed Cowan on ABC Radio suggest Pat Cummins as a future captain of Australia. We've got Stuart Clark on later on in the program. We can ask him that very question.
So tough traditionally to be a bowler and captain your side, isn't it? You, wasn't it, in grade cricket?
Yeah.
How'd you go? Did you get the new ball every time?
Tell you what, you used to get a lot of overs. I know
exactly
that.
Exactly, funny about that. Yeah. I wonder what this man's highlight was in 2008. It's been a spectacular year for the Godolphin Royal Blue.
I'm going to guess. Personally, yeah. I'm thinking Godolphin with the Melbourne Cup.
No, that was James Cummins.
Yeah. So
many highlights. We'll ask him. He's on the line. James, good morning. And as I mentioned, it's been a fantastic year for you in the stable. Has there been one highlight, James?
Oh, Jimmy, I reckon... The champagne that I drank out of that Melbourne Cup here in November. For some reason, that is the most bitter champagne I've ever tasted. I don't know why.
Oh, I think you saw the vision of you sort of reeling back in horror after you had the mouthful, James, I think.
Oh, it was great to shake mum and the whole team everywhere around the world for the Cup ride, but gee, I would have loved to have won it before Buddy Charlie.
He's got bragging rights now.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Well, where does yesterday... yesterday rate, James, because I asked you after Elise's win how satisfying it was, and you did say how satisfied you were to get that mare back and in such dynamic form. It wasn't a Group 1, it's just a listed race, but it'd be up there.
Oh, yeah, that was a really big day for us. But, you know, to cap off at what's been a great year for the stables. The horses just keep improving, and it's been very enjoyable to not only get to know the horses better, but also to get to know the guys better that are around me and the team that we've assembled to not only be in the right places and use their talents accordingly, but be motivated and feel, you know, they're really feeling the desire and the appreciation for their roles and that motivation to do better. So that's gone to another level, and in amongst all that, I think there's been a little smarter use of the facilities that we've got from one sort of one quarter of the year to the next as we've sort of got to know each other. So that's not to be underestimated, those sorts of things. But yesterday was a fantastic day. I think it was probably up there in a way for the time of the year in the context. It was probably up there with, you know, that day we had in February when Hartnell won the CF4 and Kementari kicked off with the Eskimo Prince win. We had about 7 winners around the country. And Derby Day when we had about 5 winners around the country, right, and 3 on Derby Day, which is going to take us a while to top that.
I asked Ray.
It's right up there.
Sorry, James. I asked Ray a little bit early. He gave me an answer that I was prepared to accept, which is most unusual at this time.
That is unusual, James.
Trust me. But why is Elise racing at this time, the dual Group 1 winner?
I just had to get her fit and firing early on, because we didn't want to have the... We didn't want to be using the excuse that she was just half a run behind all these horses if she waited all the way till February.
Yep.
And so now when we do get to those races, her opposition, they're going to be coming up against a fully fit Elise rather than a horse that's only really fully fit for maybe one run in her campaign. And that will be I hope to see that'll be a telling point with her. Elise now needs to make every post a winner. But realistically, if she can produce one of those big performances over a mile there, 1,500 metres or 1,600 metres this campaign, then that can open up a lot of doors for her. And that'd be pretty exciting for the guys at the stables to see a horse of her quality that has been nurtured and been taught to relax so well and been shown how to enjoy her light training and her racing. Just to get her back in that sort of form is terribly satisfying. What do you guys watch a lot of races. She's a pretty good horse, Elise. What do you think her best ever win has been?
I reckon the Queen of the Turf, James, during the championships back in April, when she monstered a really good field of mares as a 3-year-old filly. I know a Flight Stakes win was good.
Funny you say that. When I was watching a replay in the lead up to doing the form for the weekend, you know, that's the win that still gets the hairs on the back of your neck standing up.
Phenomenal that day.
That was all the way back in April, and yet it still gets you excited.
Big win. Well, yesterday was exciting for a number of reasons too, James. Not the fact that she was back winning, which was great, but she's run 1877. Huey Bone was quite kind to her late, yet she's run brilliant time, and more importantly, she pulled up, and I made mention to you after the race, James, she hardly blew a candle out after the race.
Yeah, she's in really good shape, so I think that bodes really well for the rest of her campaign. After she won the Light Fingers, first up in the autumn last year, you know, well, it was earlier this year, she felt the run a lot more, and consequently she didn't quite fire second up in the surround.
Yeah.
So now that she's got a little bit of, now that we can afford to give her a little bit of a gap between runs, I think she can start feeling her way through the early part of the autumn in better shape than she was last time.
Let's talk about some of those other winners. Deprive was fantastic. Race 8, very good win as a $2 favourite. What's up next for him?
Um, he, quite a classic example of how we can use the New South Wales benchmarking system to our advantage and take him through his grade.
Right.
I'll be interested to see how he rated yesterday. I'd be surprised if that wasn't his best performance, because he just sort of shot to the front of his own volition there, the top of the straight, and was almost in front of too soon, but he just genuinely kept hitting the line and had nothing else a chance. So I'd have it up there with his best performance. And if he's in the sort of, if he's in the category of a horse that's capable of getting to a quality handicap one day, then we'd want to sort of keep him fresh and lightly raced for that to come to fruition. So that's what I've got in my sights at the moment.
Mm. He was very exciting too. Two good winners yesterday in Brisbane, too. Tally and Manicure running the Quinelle and the Mares race. That took the stable past 100 winners, James, before the end of the year, just 5 months into the season, the fifth trainer to do so, and you've broken the 50 win barrier in Sydney as well, so a lot of ticks so far.
Yeah, look, it's been a great season, and we got to now make sure we work just as hard for the year ahead to prove that it wasn't a fluke. And I think often everywhere around the world with their 30 Group 1 winners that are under the belt, they're going to try and top that as well. So I think it's a good amount of motivation everywhere to sort of get the respect right up and for people to see a lot of they see the challenge of beating the horses in the blue colours.
Mm, yeah, absolutely. No, it has been fantastic 12 months, 5 months of the season as well, and long may it continue. Good on you, James. Congratulations on that. Enjoy the new year, and hopefully, I've got no doubt, we will be speaking to you at some stage come 2019.
Thanks, guys. Yeah, and the Warwick Farm trainer, Bjorn Baker, was talking about the cricket far too much. So
yeah, no.
Take it easy on the cricket chat.
Oh, no, we're copping hammering and beer. But hey, look, James, terrific. Thanks for joining us this morning, and happy new year to you and the team.
See you guys.
Thanks, James.
James Cummins there from Godolphin. Winners all around the country there yesterday. And Bjorn, New Zealand, look like they're going to have a win over there in their
Tom
test matches.
Tom Latham struck some form over there, isn't
he? Well done.
This one's from Matt. Hey, boys, apart from celebrating my 18th wedding anniversary today, congratulations, Matt, and your lovely wife. His highlight...
Hang on, Henry. How do you know his wife's lovely?
Well, of course. Well, 18th wedding anniversary is a good effort, isn't it? Yeah, congratulations to you both. Matt's highlight was Tiger Woods winning again in the USPGA Tour. Good one. And watching the crowd go crazy when he won, which was terrific. And the low light, the Aussie cricket team.
Yeah.
Common lament.
Absolutely. Highlight, Roosters grand final win. Low light, Serena's tirade against the umpire and the response by the Tennis Association. Memorable moment, the Tiger stalking the fairway again and the crowd that followed him. Hmm. Jack from Olbar. So good nominations there. Keep them coming in. 13:53:53. We've got a big sports breakfast pack to give away. Phil is on the line now. G'day, Phil.
Good morning. How are you, gentlemen?
Good morning,
Very
Phil.
Well.
I want to talk about Channel 7.
Yeah.
With their coverage of the cricket.
Yep.
I mean, they went to the news instead of showing the extra half hour of the cricket last night, which was very disappointing. And settled in to watch the Big Bash, and the Sound of Music was on Channel 7.
Yeah, the Von Trapp children. They were four short of a team, weren't they?
Well, they were, weren't they?
Yeah.
Do you know why Channel 7 do this? Is it a contract with Fox Sports that they're dropping games?
I think there's 58 games that are being played in the Big Bash this year, and Channel 7 have 44 of them.
It would have gone to one of their digital platforms, wouldn't it? Like 7Mate or something like that, wouldn't it?
Just on the Big Bash, there's about 10 games that Fox are broadcasting that Channel 7 don't have.
Right, so Fox have got all the games.
Fox has got every game, everything covered. However, and the other thing about Channel 7, I thought it was fascinating at the time, Phil, and I'm glad you brought it up, the fact that they went to their news, whereas Channel 9 previously would delay the news, but they decided to go with their news.
Yeah.
And I think it's a reflection on just how many people have that digital option. Mm. And remember, digital TV penetration in Australia is about 99%. Yeah. So as soon as I saw that, I thought, must be on Seven Mate.
Or something.
Went to Seven Mate and watched the rest of it there. And I thought, it's fascinating because what they're doing is they, in many ways, cricket would be a lost leader for Channel 7. They will not make money on their cricket broadcast rights. But what they do, they have what's called a halo effect. And people will watch other programming because they've seen it during the course of their watching of the cricket.
Mm-hmm.
And Channel 7 News is their flagship program. If you ever look every day, the highest rating programs on television, invariably, it's Channel 7 News, Channel 9 News, 1 and 2.
At 6 o'clock.
Yeah. But it's a very good point that you make, Phil.
Mm.
And thanks for making it. I'm going to give double asterisks there to Phil.
No, good one, yeah. We've got Anthony on the line. Anthony, good morning.
Good morning. Good. Listen, why are you making this point? Because a stationer should be straight back into the side, but if you're really honest with yourself, he's a technically very poor captain. He has been from day one. I don't think he improved. So I'll make the case that bowlers can be captains. And in first-class cricket, Jeff Lawson and David Colley were excellent captains. Mm-hmm. Shaun Clarke was questionable, but I think he was okay. And in test cricket, Imran Khan, Kapil Dev, Bob Willis, Shivinder Vass, they handled it pretty well. Because they're also very smart, but like, I don't want to sort of sound a bit snottish, but these guys, Imran Khan, Jeff Lawson, they're well-educated people too, and Pat Cummins is a well-educated person. I think he's calm enough to be able to sit back and handle it pretty easily.
It will be interesting. It wouldn't be unprecedented, but it's just not regular that it's been done.
He's still so young, and do you remember the last time Australia had a bowling captain, Richie Beno?
Richie Beno. There you go. Is that right? And see, this is a great argument around Shane Warne and whether Shane Warne's antics off the field cost him the Australian captaincy. I don't think there's any doubt that it did. But when you hear Shane Warne talk, and Warne, sometimes when he starts to talk about Aaron Finch being man of the match when he scored 8 just because of his captaincy in a one-day game, you're like, oh, come on, Warnie. But when you hear him,
talk through and over about
what someone's trying to do, set
great
them up
cricket
for it,
brain.
Unbelievable what he can help you learn about the game that you've played for 40 years.
Good point.
That's the amazing thing. 13:53:53. Good call, Anthony. Do appreciate that. Mr. Songman, All-Star Mile candidate. That's the question coming in from eagle-eyed Phil.
Hopefully we'll ask Adrian Bott in a sec. I suppose he has to be nominated, though.
Punters, we thank you. You can't find a better betting app than the Tab app. With more live Sky Racing than any other app, exclusive race previews and the biggest range of race replays on offer, you have everything you need to give you the best betting experience all in the palm of your hand. Plus, enjoy access to detailed form, cutting-edge data and expert analysis from the best in the business. Download the Tab app today and stay ahead of the game. Tab. Terms and conditions apply. See tab.com.au. Gamble responsibly.
Okay, Lano, what are we calling it?
How about this, Mum? The Bingley This Only Happens Once a Year Absolutely Massive Deals.
Hurry up!
On a huge range of the world's leading brands in everything from fridges and washers to TVs, computers and Bluetooth speakers.
I've got to go now.
At prices you won't believe sale.
It doesn't really roll off the tongue.
But, Mum, this year's sale is bigger than big.
The Bingley Bigger Than Big Sale. Done.
But, Mum!
Lano.
The Bigger Than Big Sale. On now at Bingley.
Australians are practical people. So what about a useful everyday diary for women full of essential health information that also saves lives? Now that's something. The Australian Women's Health Diary funds life-saving breast cancer trials research. Buy one for yourself or someone you love and do something that does something. It's just $18.95 from newsagents, Woolworths and magshop.com.au. The Australian Women's Health Diary. Buy the diary that saves lives today.
Here's the important jump, and Flanders Obo met his spot on, and now Cobden says go on the run for home, and Flanders Obo is finding enough from Thistlecrack, and Flanders Obo gives Paul Nicholls a 10th King George.
On Sky Sports Radio, you're tuned to the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend with Jimmy and Ray.
And welcome back to the show. A couple of great contributions from our listeners. This is Don from Carlton again. Highlight Manly's great attempt at winning their first wooden spoon, low light their failure to achieve it. Eagle-eyed Phil, imagine Winx winning a 5th Cox plate in foal.
Based on what you were saying earlier.
And this is a good one. Thanks, gentlemen, Tanya and crew, for a great show throughout the year and best wishes for 2019. And the same to you. Just wondering if the quiz is part of next year's plan? That's from Doremus.
No, it's an excellent question, Doremus. I'm certainly keen for it to come back.
We're not going to go more than three cars.
You cannot be serious!
I am, John. I am serious. John Patrick McEnroe there.
We've been up the ante again, dude.
I think we have to.
Oh, to four.
Yes, four.
$200 liability.
It is. Mm. Based on your ability to find a bargain, though, Ray, I don't think it did cost you $200, especially with the wingman being part of it as well. 1353-53, the open line number.
We'll move on to more important points, and that was Mr. Songman yesterday. Tremendous performance, ran incredible time. Trainer Adrian Botts on the line. Adrian, good morning, and thanks for joining us. We've had one of our listeners SMS us, Adrian, Mr. Songman for the All-Star Mile. I guess after a performance like yesterday, the sky is the limit.
Yeah, but it's brilliant to see it. Unbelievable performance, and I think we'd get a few votes from Tasmania. I reckon we might be able to get him in the get him into the race, get a bit of a following for him. Mm. So look, you know, there's lot of possibilities. We haven't certainly settled on anything yet. Obviously we thought we were dealing with a horse that had plenty of upside and ability, and you know, we just didn't quite know, you know, how far we could take him, or you know, where the bottom of him was.
Mm-hmm.
Our sort of first real preparation with him that we've been, just learning about him as we go. And obviously we saw a significant improvement there yesterday. Because I still think there's a bit more to come, which is, which is great. There's obviously upside there, and we just got to try and settle now and work out what's the best path for him to, maximise everything for his owners.
It's like trying to be class prefect, isn't it? Mm. The All-Star Mile. We'll go around and count the votes, popularity contest. based on that, Adrian, and you made mention of the fact, and we'll get to where you think Mr. Songman can improve, but given the dominance of the win yesterday and the time that he ran, has that then changed your thinking about what lies ahead for the horse?
Yeah, it certainly has. I think it's probably just given us a little bit more confidence to set our sights on races like that, and maybe probably trying to achieve it a little bit sooner rather than later, I guess. I guess it's hard to ignore the time that he ran. Mm. So I guess margins are always one thing, but I guess the time never sort of really lies, does it? So it's important to see that on the clock, and that probably helps sort of line up where we can sort of send him going forward. But I guess the distance was another thing. Stepping up to the 14 was the first time for us. We didn't know sort of what sort of improvement was there, and probably get the feeling that we can stretch him out to the mile easy enough as well.
Adrian, how did he pull up? Because when a horse runs 120.55, they don't go much faster than that at Randwick. Would that have taken anything out of the horse? Because he seemed to be doing it so easy yesterday.
Yeah, look, a hot day yesterday and a strong performance. So, yeah, certainly all the horses will fuel the run to an extent, but look, he's come through it as well as he could. He's, he's eaten up well last night, and he seems quite bright this morning. So he has an easy couple of days, and he'll bounce back good as gold.
Mm. How do you work out who wears the colours? Like, when do they pull out the famous colours? Mm. And what's the added pressure? Does Gay say anything, Adrian, when she says, right, the colours are being worn, and these are my expectations?
that hasn't come up, but obviously it's great to see the colours out, and just see remember the importance of the history of the stable, and it's quite touching to see how much it does actually mean to everyone. You know, it's not just a set of colours. When I was quite not surprised, but it was just fantastic to see how much it did sort of touch everyone yesterday, and how many people sort of came up and actually said it's great to see those colours being worn again. A lot more people than I actually sort of thought it would. So it's fantastic to see, and we're going to see a lot more of it.
Mm. Terrific. Adrian, just quickly, Unite and Conquer and Zass, and your two Magic Means two-year-old contenders trialled last Thursday, and talking to you after that trial, you were happy with both?
Yeah, done. They've both done excellent since then. They come through that really well. They both needed a good hit out. They'll get on the float probably tomorrow, head up to the Gold Coast, just have a little bit of time to settle in with our team up there, and We're taking a good, strong team up there, full truckload. So, looking forward to getting up there. They've both done excellent since the trial.
$5 Unite and Conquer, and Zarzon is $10 for that Magic Millions 2-year-old classic, just a couple of weeks away. We're looking forward to that one. Mm. Hey, Adrian, we've got to fly. Congratulations on that win yesterday, Mr. Songwin. Highly impressive. Really appreciated your time during the course of this year. I know you've been on the program a number of times, and we do enjoy it. And let's hope we're speaking again in 2019.
Thanks very much. All the best, guys.
Thanks, Adrian.
Adrian Bott there, trainer of Mr. Songwin, as we said, highly impressive yesterday at Royal Randwick. Time now for the scratchings around New South Wales. We say good morning for the first time to Tan.
Morning, boys. Morning, everyone. Racing in New South Wales today is at Orange and Corowa. We'll start with Orange, where the weather is fine. The track a good 3, the rail true. Penetrometer 3.69 and 12 scratchings. The first race is clear. Go to race 2, take out 4, Expellable. 9, Moshed Up, and 10, My Shiromi, 4, 9, and 10. Race 3, number 6, Vuni, 8, Norma's Joy, and 10, Thursday's Star, 6, 8, and 10. Out of race 4, number 8, Not a Sound, number 8. Race 5, number 3, Concurs, take out number 3. Race 6, number 2, Triple Hero, number 2. And race 7, number 2, Fame Shines, 5, Anne's Gift, and 7, Mako Nepret. 2, 5, and 7 from race 7 at Orange. To Cowra, the weather is overcast. The track a good 3, the rail true, and there are 9 scratchings. Race 1, take out 1, War Image, 2, Great, and 9 at large. 1, 2, and 9. Race 2, number 2, Harden Up Tiger, 11, Millington, 12, Miss Arietta, and 13, Spin Her. 2, 11, 12, and 13. Race 3 is clear. Out of race 4, number 8, Ilara, number 8. Races 5 and 6 are clear. And race 7, take out 8, Big Baloo, number 8 from race 7 at Corowa.
Thanks, Tim. Tips today. Orange, race 4, number 2, Loves a Hassle. Into race 5, number 1, Star of O'Reilly. Then over to Corowa. Race 3, number 2, Mirrorly. But all up is because Nakoni Pony's very short now. Race 6, number 3, Nakoni Pony. I think it's about $1.60 at the moment, James. So might go all up, Mira Lee, into Nakoni Pony at Corowa.
We will put those out on social media. Good work, Raymond. Thank you, Tan. We'll take a break now. News on the Big Sports Breakfast weekend. And then after the news, well, talk about stellar seasons. Peter Peters has been absolutely on fire throughout 2018. And we look forward to his highlights, lowlights, and most memorable moments.
Sarah Womby, Islamic State jihadist and recruiter Neil Prakash has been stripped of his Australian citizenship. The Melbourne-born man, who is currently in jail in Turkey over charges related to being a member of Islamic State, has become the 12th dual national to have their citizenship annulled over associations with offshore terror groups. Home Affairs Minister Peter Dutton said the government's priority is the safety and security of Australians.
People should recognise that if given the opportunity, Mr. Prakash would harm or kill Australians. And our country is a safer place for him having lost his Australian citizenship. And it should serve as a very timely reminder that the Australian government will not tolerate this level of threat.
The crack in Sydney's Opal Tower and subsequent evacuation has sparked calls for an independent inquiry into the approval process across the New South Wales industry. The Association of Accredited Certifiers says everyone involved in the construction of new apartments should have insurance and be properly accredited. Vice President Robert Marinelli has told Macquarie there must be accountability across the industry.
The accountability ties back to the people that are actually doing the work. We realise that builders are relying on the subcontractors and also installers and providers and suppliers. And it's a case of just making sure that these people are accountable for the product and the service that they are actually providing.
A woman has died in a head-on collision on a road in northeast Tasmania. A four-wheel drive crossed to the wrong side of Golconda Road in Labrina and collided with a sedan yesterday afternoon. The 69-year-old sedan driver died at the scene, while the 52-year-old woman who was driving the four-wheel drive and her 53-year-old male passenger were taken to hospital with non-life-threatening injuries. West Australian police are appealing for witnesses and dash cam footage after an injured man was found on a street south of Perth on Christmas Day. The man was found unconscious on Mandurah Road in the evening, with police interested in finding out what happened there between 6:40pm and 7:10pm. The man is in hospital in an induced coma. US President Donald Trump is blaming the deaths of two children on the Democrats and their unwillingness to fund his wall along the border between America and Mexico. The political impasse is not expected to be resolved before January 3, when the new Congress is sworn in and the Democrats take power in the US House of Representatives. Our US correspondent Priscilla Huff reports.
U.S. President Donald Trump is convinced if there was a wall, no one would even try walking from Central America to the United States. In tweets, he tried to pin the blame for the deaths of two children while in custody of the U.S. Border Patrol on the Democrats. While the president has drawn his line in the sand, insisting on his $5 billion to build the wall, Democrats are standing firm, saying they will not consider anything other than a clear public offer from Donald Trump on how to reopen the government. Furloughed government employees are worried about when they will be paid again. Priscilla Huff, Washington.
And two people have died and nine have been rescued after a series of avalanches buried the employees of a gold mining company in Russia's Far East. This is Air News. The Australian summer of tennis kicked off in Perth last night. Here's Air Sports' Paul Walsh.
Ash Barty and Matthew Ebden both registered singles victories over France last night at the Hopman Cup, giving Australia an excellent start in the round-robin tournament. Barty, Australia's highest-ranked female player, was too good for Elise Cornet, winning in straight sets 7-5, 6-3, while Ebden, currently enjoying a career-high singles ranking of 39, finished too strongly against Lucas Puglia, winning in three sets. Earlier in the day, Great Britain were too strong for Greece, claiming victory in the deciding mixed doubles match. This is Paul Walsh for Air Sport.
Interim Brisbane coach Darren Davies hasn't decided if he wants the job on a full-time basis, but says his Raw players are upset about former manager John Aloisi's resignation. The Raw played their first game without the former Socceroo in charge last night, courageous in their 2-1 A-League defeat to Sydney FC just a day after Aloisi's resignation. In cricket, India are pushing for victory on day five of the Boxing Day Test. Australia finished 8 for 258 at stumps at the MCG. And according to the Sunday Telegraph, rugby league immortal Andrew Johns has revealed he's been treated for seizures. 44-year-old Johns collapsed in a coffee shop at Yamba while on holiday on the New South Wales north coast. The former Newcastle Knights, New South Wales and Kangaroos star says he's on medication to treat his condition. Australian Independent Radio News.
Whinge and whine about the traffic. Think of the wine you'll have at home. A glass of Windy Peak Cabernet Merlot by De Bortoli, of course. Here's the traffic.
The Prime West Auburn Megamall end-of-year sale is now on. Get in early for great savings with Freedom, Snooze, The Good Guys and more. Prime West Auburn Megamall on Parramatta Road. In French's Forest, we've got lights out on Warringah Road at Forest Way. If you're off to the airport, you've timed it well. No delays to either terminal at the moment. And a good flow on roads around most of our beaches, including the Stain, Manly and Campbell Parade Bondi. New barbecue loaded fries have arrived at Macca's. Get a load of aioli, caramelised onions and tasty barbecue McRib sauce for a limited time only after 10:30am. I'm Solomon Gates, number one in racing on Sky Sports Radio.
Stay right where you are and enjoy your favourite reality viewing this summer staycation. The one you watch from the windows of your own home. Wideline windows and doors can create the perfect frame for your view. Whether it's bifolds at Bankstown, casements at Coffs or awnings at Abermain. All backed by a 7-year guarantee. Take a closer look at the stylish range of Wideline windows and doors. Get started today by visiting wideline.com.au.
Whoever you're backing on New Year's Day at Randwick, TAB's got you covered with a $100,000 projected Big Six pool. That's right, $100,000 at Randwick. Don't miss a minute of the action and watch every race live on the TAB app. With more Sky Racing than any other app, including Sky One, Sky Two and Sky Thoroughbred Central. Who are you backing? TAB. Download the app and visit your local. Terms and conditions apply. See tab.com.au for details. Gamble responsibly.
Sky Sports Radio, Sydney weather.
As James would say, hot. Mostly sunny today. Actually, Sydney's not too bad. There's virtually no chance of any rain, but a top temperature of 32 degrees in Sydney today. Much hotter out west, though. James, what's the current temperature at Caringbah and out at Coral for the races today?
Presently at Caringbah, 22 degrees. We'll get to a maximum of 33 degrees. And Corowa, shower or two today at Corowa with a maximum temperature of 35 degrees. And, of course, we'll do Orange next because that's where they're racing, and that'll be at 9 o'clock. If anyone listening could send us in a suburb of Sydney that starts with O, that'd be most appreciated.
Think of one.
Here comes the siren.
Sky Sports Radio, you're tuned to the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend with Jimmy and Ray.
Yeah, welcome back to the program. It's 9 minutes past eight. We're looking forward to a big hour coming up too, Raymond. Zorba very shortly to give us his highs and lows and memorable moments of 2018. Next week we might look forward to 2019 and what will transpire. But I've got to say, and I'm happy about it, Raymond, quiet week in rugby league.
Impossible. It does not happen.
Well, it did.
It almost did this week.
It did. Tom Marquin will be on, the English jockey, who had a couple of winners yesterday. Really outstanding ride on Live and Free. And
John O'Shea gave him a huge rap. John
did
O'Shea,
he? Yeah, right. Well, Event Cinema's quiz too. Look, I haven't even put the score in.
Have you started sampling Sed Fair that I've produced
last Sunday? Sed Fair's been sampled, yes. Nearly a case of the... Corona's gone. So
oh,
thank
really?
You. Yeah.
Oh, it's been hot.
Yeah, it has been hot. That's right. And it's important to keep the fluids up, Ray. So Event Cinema's quiz, it really means nothing except for the listener who win the double pass courtesy of Prakash and the team there at Event Cinema's at George Street. And we'll have a chat with Stewie Clark too about this test series and, of course, the Big Bash League where it's all going wrong for Australia.
Exactly.
Our talk topic, though...
It is going, as you would say, Jimmy, gangbusters. And our talk topic is...
Highlights, lowlights, and most memorable moments of 2018.
And this is from Vicky from Port Macquarie. Hi, Ray and Jimmy. My highlights for 2018. I can still remember watching Alex the Dominator in the Australian Summer of Tennis. He emerged, didn't he? Alex Dimonor last summer.
Isn't he great to watch?
Yeah. Also, the Commonwealth Games results, especially the cyclists. The lowlights include not showing the athletes, particularly Kurt bearing the flag in the closing, Kurt Fernie in the closing ceremony. Good point. And one for both... A high and low must include Ray losing the Event Cinema quiz. Yeah, that's been a low light for sure. But most memorable for you, James.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. Lots more coming in. And by the way, thanks, Paramat, who got ahead of the curve and said, look, guys, I think today you'll be looking for suburbs with O. Oatley, Oatlands, Observatory Hill, Oakhurst, Old Guildford.
Of course.
Oran Park, Orchard.
It's so easy after the event.
Isn't it? Yeah, we had all of those. We had all of those.
Didn't we? Before we go to Zorba, this is a quick one. This is from Des from Mudgee. Boys, big shout out to Cameron Crockett, the trainer, who yesterday prepared his first winner at Randwick and dedicated it to his late father, a bush legend by the name of Max Crockett, who died about a month ago. And Cameron, who's a terrific young trainer, a real shining light, won with Ori on fire yesterday.
I reckon Des from Mudgee is Des Kennedy.
Okay.
Part owner of Ori on fire, because I heard Glenn Munsey tell the story. I think he's a part owner of the Orient Hotel at Mudgee.
Hence the name of the horse.
And it was on fire.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
They actually had a fire at the pub.
Yeah.
And then he said, gee, that's not a bad name for a horse, is it? Ori on fire. And that's how they got the name
Sounds
of the horse.
Sounds even better when they win, doesn't it?
Doesn't it? Doesn't it? Very well named. Mm. I think it is. Probably Des Kennedy. So there you go. Good on you, Des. Thanks for the SMS. Time now to speak some rugby league with our man Zorba, who's had... Look, you can talk about highs and lows of... teams and individuals. Zorba's 2018, nothing short of exceptional for the listeners here on the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend Edition. G'day, Zorb.
Morning, boys.
Morning, Pete.
I hope you've enjoyed the year, mate. It's been an incredible one from a rugby league point of view, on and off the field. Why don't we hit you straight up? Your highlight of 2018.
Well, I've restricted mine to rugby league.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And I reckon the highlight of the year was a smile on the face of our New South Wales coach with some innovations that we hadn't seen in our game, getting back to enjoying the game, making it simple, and I reckon Brad Fittler was a breath of fresh air in 2018. New South Wales won the series again, if we can hold our heads up high after years and years of disappointment and promises. I thought that was a highlight.
Yeah,
I thought the low light in our game was the passing of so many greats of our game, young and not so young, immortals, battlers, just too many in 2018. And just some names that came to me in the last 5 or 10 minutes were the great Graham Changalanglands.
Yes.
A player that I watched in Wollongong debut against Great Britain at the Wollongong Showground. And that's where St George, their great secretary at the time, Frank Facer, saw him for the first time. They bought him and what a player he was.
Yeah.
Cleppy Watson, who I played against in the 73 Grand Final, one of the toughest men along with John O'Neill that I can remember in the game, and Kevin Ryan. Cliffy's now gone. Steve Foakes, who was so fit,
yeah,
and his mate said, listen, ease up a bit. And just too young for Foakesy to go. From the Canterbury Bankstown Club as a great player and coach. Lance Thompson, when you talk about young people dying
yes.
in the game.
Yes.
Not so long ago, Lance was playing for Cronulla and St George and terrific bloke. And too early to go. And of course, the man that made, words like huge and just his commentary changed television in Australia, Darryl Eastlake, who passed away on the Central Coast this year after a long illness too.
Mm.
But, those guys going so early was a real low light for me for the year, without being morbid. But
yeah.
My most memorable moment of the year, I think I like to see young players come through, and I think we've got two young superstars in Kalen Ponga and Latrell Mitchell, who ignited the game when they played this year. Mitchell, top point scorer in the NRL. He's just finding his feet in the game, and so many levels for him to go to. And Ponga with an expected switch to maybe 5'8", the number 6 on his back from fullback this year. That's going to be exciting to watch in the new year as well.
No, terrific. And Zorba, I reckon you're already counting down to the 2019 season.
Well, I am. It's good news. It's only 6 weeks to go.
I'm sick of
watching our cricket side humiliated by Coley and his side.
Mm.
Look, training resumes in the NRL next week. It's a revamped All-Stars game.
Yes.
On February the 15th, that's the Indigenous All-Stars versus the Maori All-Stars. That's going to be a cracker to start off with. The Australian champions, the Roosters, play Wigan in the World Club Challenge on Sunday, February 17. The trials, 2 weeks of trials leading into the March 14 kickoff for the NRL. They start on Sunday, February 17. Eels versus the Raiders, February the 15th. That starts at St Mary. So it's not long until the kickoff, and I'm looking forward to that. It should be a sensational year with so many changes in the coaching area. It's the great unknown. And, Bennett at South, Seibold at Brisbane,
yeah.
Hasler at Manly, Cleary back at Penrith, Michael Maguire at the West Tigers. It's set up an intriguing 2019. It raises the question, who's the greatest coach in rugby league of all time, boys?
Bellamy?
It's all about, I love this because there's probably four standout nominations in my mind.
Bellamy and Bennett.
And one is Wayne Bennett.
Yep.
Yeah.
Sheer weight of numbers.
Jack Gibson.
The coach of the century.
Yeah.
Craig Bellamy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I don't have a fourth. I've got those three.
Well, the other one, and I was lucky enough to be in Craig Bellamy's company on the night of the grand final after they'd just been beaten by the Roosters. And we were talking about this very subject. I brought it up. He didn't, quite obviously. And I mentioned a guy named Arthur Pony Hollowell, who was a player and then a player coach and then a coach in the 1919s, 20s, 30s and then 40s. He's won 8 premierships as a playing coach or coach, but never gets the recognition that he deserves. So he's another guy I'd throw into the mix.
Okay. Well, just on the three that most of our listeners will know of. I love Jack Gibson because he took on challengers.
Mm.
He took on clubs like Newtown, who no one wanted to go to. Parramatta, when they were down and out, bought them their first premiership. East, when they didn't win a game, he took them on and improved them immediately. To my mind, at the moment, he sits at my number one, even though I had a heap and heap of arguments with him. I still respected him greatly. I think Wayne Bennett has had good sides to pick from. Virtual Queensland sides at the Broncos. He took on a St George side that was ready. In his biggest challenge, he failed badly at Newcastle. And they couldn't wait to see him leave town. Be interesting to see how he goes at South Sydney. But Bellamy is closing in fast. And by the end of his career, he could be a clear number one. If he can continue his success at the Storm without Cooper Cronk and Billy Slater, it'll simply grow his brilliant reputation to an all-time status. The one blemish on his record is in Origin.
Yes.
And Bennett's record, to be fair, with Queensland, Australia and England is outstanding. So, and Gibson didn't have the opportunity to coach representative football. So I think our listeners would have a good view and different views on all of those coaches.
A couple of interesting points you made there, Zorb, and with Gibson in particular, how he improved that East side in the mid-60s after coming last the previous year and didn't win a game. But also that sort of flows into Bellamy as well. He's got a remarkable habit of finding the best out of players that are struggling at other clubs.
Exactly, and this is going to be a big challenge for him this year. I mean, Cameron Smith is nearing the end of his career. He wants to play another 2 years, and he's got that wish, and he'll still be great for them without any representative football to worry about. But can they be a top four side again? A lot of people have got question marks about them, and, well, I think we'll see them back in, still in the eight, but I don't think they can be a top four side with their roster. I think there'll be a lot of improvers in the competition, and I think Newcastle and the Cowboys will be two of those big improvers from where they were in 2018. So going to be intriguing in that regard.
Yeah, we'll look forward to that, and we'll get your predictions next week for season 2019, Zorb. What about a player to watch? You mentioned Ponga. That's going to be interesting. I think Ben Barber back at the Cowboys is going to be fascinating as well.
My player that I think is going to go to great heights, he's already a rising superstar in the game, but at 23 years of age, Viliami Billy Kickow from Penrith, the Fijian front-end loader. He's my breakout player for 2019. He's had a good 2018, but he can go to a new level, I reckon, in 2019 under Ivan Cleary. He's played just 34 NRL games.
Wow.
And at 23, he's ready to be alongside Jason Taumalolo as a real match winner in the forwards. He scored 32 tries from 42 matches for the Cowboys Holden Cup side in 2015. And he hardly had played any rugby league. He played rugby back home in Fiji. How did the Cowboys let him go? I mean, obviously they couldn't keep him because he was a standout. He's in the NYC Team of the Year in that year. And the Panthers pack with him in it, in the back row, I predict, it just looks awesome with Regan Campbell-Gillard, who's already an international, Sione Katoa, James Tarmow, Billy Kickow, Isaiah Yao, and James Fisher-Harris. They're going to be a handful, aren't they, the Penrith Panthers up front in 2019 under Ivan Cleary.
I'll tell you, if you're a right back, right defensive edge player, a halfback or a 5'8", you got Penrith this week.
Fiji in front end loader.
Billy Kickett coming at you. It is a the fact they didn't throw him the ball late in that semi final against the Sharks cost them the game.
Look, he's just an exciting player. He offloads, he tackles hard.
Yes, yes.
And he's not afraid to take the ball up and just try and smash through the defence if he's got to. He's going to be special in the year as long as he doesn't get any injuries. And the big mail I hear during the week is that the Sac Panthers coach, Anthony Griffin, he's super keen on returning to the NRL and he wants the job on a full-time basis at the Sharks, but his bust-up over a year ago with a former Panthers pin-up boy and his captain, Matty Moylan, may come back to haunt him. Moylan is firmly entrenched at the Sharks, highly thought of by his teammates. His views on Griffin aren't complimentary. Just who will get the Sharks job full-time is intriguing. I'm told it won't be Trent Barrett. The current duo of John Morris and Jim Dimmock, they're in there at the moment. It isn't out of the running that they could be there for the entire 2019 season. The Sharks roster with Sean Johnson in it now is exceptional, and it is really a fait accompli that Shane Flanagan won't be coaching next season.
Steve Price contacted about the job, had a handshake agreement with the chairman or the CEO of Warrington, has subsequently gone on to sign that deal, so he's a name that you can strike out of that one as well. I think you're right, Zorb. Morris and Dimmock in combination.
Okay.
Looks like they are favoured to be coaches for 2019. Good on you, Zorb. We've got a fly. You have a great new year, mate, and we'll look forward to speaking next week.
Okay, boys. Have a good one.
Happy New Year, mate.
There he is, Zorba, with his thoughts on the game of rugby league. We'll take your thoughts on his thoughts. 1353 53, the open line number. We've got highlights, lowlights, and most memorable moments. Benny Ray has sent this one in, Ray. Mm. Morning, lads. Highlight, every time Kerry O'Keefe is on air. Lowlight, Central Coast Mariners.
Mm. Yeah, they're struggling, aren't they?
Downhill big
time. Memorable moment, Red Zell winning a second Everest.
He must have been on track, I reckon, or he backed it, one of the two, eh?
Either or, doesn't matter. It
was you there that day?
Yes, remember?
Great day.
Yeah, great. I like the guttural cheer that you let out.
That's right.
When the horse and the gates spring back.
Loud in
the
Melbourne Cup.
Yeah,
extraordinary.
In the space of 2 years. Didn't exist 2 years ago?
No.
Didn't exist.
That's an amazing thing.
1353-53 is the open line number. 24 minutes past 8 here on the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend.
The catalogue for the 2019 Melbourne Premier Yearling Sale is out now. 786 yearlings on offer from March 3 to 6 at a renovated Oaklands Junction. A new look venue, the same English passion. Catalogue available at inglis.com.au.
Mum, the deals at the Bingley Bigger Than Big Sale are unheard of.
Okay, I'm listening.
Save up to $300 on Miele dishwashers, save up to $700 on top mount, bottom mount and French door fridges, get a Hitachi 415-litre top mount fridge for just $5.99, get a Bosch 8-kilo washer for just $6.99, or a higher 8.5-kilo washer for just $3.99.
They're not unheard of now.
Bigger Than Big Sale on now at Bingley.
Sky Sports Radio, you're tuned to the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend with Jimmy and Ray.
And welcome back to the show, 8:25 on Sunday morning.
And just before we go to our next guest, Tom Larkin, people may not know who Arthur Holloway is. Arthur Pony Holloway, I mentioned, is one of the coaches there. He won 11 premierships. Either as a player, player coach, or a coach.
How many as a coach? As a player coach as well. So
yeah,
11 premierships.
11 premierships as a player, or as a player coach, or as a coach. He started coaching. He won the premiership with Balmain in 1915. He started coaching them, so captain coach, in 16. Okay. They won 16, 17, 19, 20. He won three comps with the legendary East side, Dave
East
Brown, 1935, 36, 37. He came back and coached the Roosters in 1945.
That's eight.
And then they won that premiership. So eight as a coach.
That's an extraordinary record. No wonder Craig Bellamy brought him up. We may not have heard of Arthur Holloway. We may not have been very familiar with this young man's name until yesterday. So write him down in a little black book. His name is Tom Markwind. He can write. He wrote a double yesterday at Ramagon Movie Roll and Live and Free. He's been good enough to join us this morning. Tom, good morning. Congratulations on the winning double yesterday. You've only been in Sydney for a little over a week. And how are you finding Sydney and Australian racing?
Morning, yeah. It's been a good start to the sort of short stint I'm over here for, but couldn't have asked for it to go off better.
You've done the right thing too. You've ensured that the bloke who brought you out here, John O'Shea, keeps feeding you,
the winner,
or keeps giving you a bed, and you've also had a win for Coolmore too. So you've done the right thing by the owners there, Tom.
Yeah, it was a pretty special day, to be honest with you. Really, like Coolmore winners and riders don't come along too often, and to be able to come to the other side of the world and manage to do it and run my first winner for them was quite something as well. So no, it was a good day all around, really.
Yeah, Tom, you had a fantastic year back home in England, riding over 100 winners. The reason you're out in Sydney for our summer, is it a bit of a working holiday?
Yeah. Like I said, I was lucky to have a really good summer. And I thought sort of the next step in trying to progress was do something a bit different, learn something, and you know, all the English jockeys that have come out to Australia and Sydney before have never gone back any worse off. So I thought it's something. I really enjoyed Melbourne last time I came 3 years ago, and I only got a taster of sort of what Australia had to offer. So I thought, you know, I'd love to come back and gain more experience and try again a bit harder.
Tommy, it might be a difficult question to answer, but can you try and tell us the differences between Australian racing and, say, riding over in England?
I think, well, probably my second ride yesterday, probably sort of, to me, probably not to the naked eye, but to me, probably sums it up. You know, yesterday over here, you have to sit and wait for that 5 stars longer to make sure that you're not going to cause that minor bit of interference that over here as a jockey, you know, you'd get slammed by the stewards for. Whereas in England, 10 stars before, you can risk that manoeuvre, knowing that the suspension or the punishment isn't going to be anywhere near as severe. So I think that's one major difference. It sharpens you up to your sort of spatial awareness, but as well, just the style of racing in general. Like you have to find a position a lot quicker, and obviously the tempo of the races is very different.
Mm-hmm. Hey, Tom, I reckon it's interesting. Movie role, with due respect, you know, hugged the fence, got the job done, no interference, no problem there, gets the win, live and free. I think you might have been thinking, wow, I'm going to do it again, and then it shut for you, and then it shut for you. What's going through your head at those points?
Turning in, I actually went to angle out because I thought, oh, it can't happen again up the fence. So I can't be that lucky. So I actually went to angle out a bit, and yeah, it took 25 strides longer than ideal. But yeah, like I said, in England, I'd have probably made a move 10 strides before.
Yep.
So it's not being in the fear that the stewards are going to sign me off on a nice holiday. Whereas down here, you know, I had to wait 10 strides longer, so it worked out. He picked up brilliantly, and, you know, John was brilliant in his instructions beforehand. He was very relaxed. He just said, drop him in, ride him for luck, and, you know, if it happens, it happens. If not, no panic. So
worked out fantastic.
Yeah.
Hey, Tom, have you had any contact with the David Hayes stable, and can you keep the ride on Movie Roll in the Magic Millions?
I've spoken to David, obviously, to thank him for putting me up once again. You know, obviously it'd be a dream come true, but I think I'll have to see what happens over the next couple of weeks to see what happens. But no, look, if it happens, it would be magical, really.
Mm-hmm. Now, Tom, my experience with English men and women who come to Australia for a summer, all they want to do is lie on Bondi Beach and go brown. what's your spot of choice that you're frequenting away from racing?
I've done the Coogee Bondi run a couple of times. I ran to Bronte and back yesterday and things like that, you know, but I'm trying to sort of be a bit of a tourist and do some bits as well as working hard. It's a gorgeous place, and going off and doing things is pretty nice as well, just freshening up a bit.
Yeah,
and not surprised you say that, Tom, because yesterday you were telling me you've got to ride quite light while you're here in Sydney.
Yeah, it's, at home I sort of tend to sort of save my lighter weights for the nicer horses, and when I know it's going to be worth it. Whereas obviously coming over here, not many people know who I am, so, you know, I thought it was worth putting in a bit of a graft and doing the lighter weights for the first few weeks just to try and get a few extra rides. So I've been riding 54 the last few days, which is, pretty light for me. So, I've been working hard at that the last week or so.
Well, that would have been interesting on that famous Bondi to Bronte walk where you're running there, I'm presuming, with either a full tracksuit on or garbage bags, and everyone else is, for want of a better term, scantily clad.
Yes, I had a sweatsuit on and got a few funny looks along the way.
Very good.
At least the view's pretty good, though, Tom. It's fantastic.
Yeah, exactly.
Quite spectacular. Tom, how long are you out in Sydney for, and what's the long-term plans for you?
I'm due to fly home on the 3rd of February, just to get turn and time, obviously, for Richard Hannon and 2-year-olds starting to ramp up their work and ready for the sort of upcoming season. So it's... yeah, it's a shame it can't be longer or couldn't be longer. But you know, they does a good job at home, and I've got a lot of people that are very good to me back home this season. And you know, hopefully going back at that sort of time gives me plenty of time to get going again and get the ball rolling.
Fair enough. Well, Tom, sorry, Jim, I was going to say Tom made a lot of people sit up and take notice yesterday. A couple of terrific rides. I'm sure there'll be a lot more opportunities for you over the next month or so. Tom, it's a pleasure to have you on the show this morning, and the very best of luck in the next 6 weeks.
Not at all. Thank you very much for having me.
Thank Tom you. Marquin there, 20-odd years to get his first Randwick winner, and then another 2.5 hours he's got his second. So not bad for the youngster, and it seems like a nice young fella
he's
too.
Very well spoken, isn't he?
13.53.53. By the way, if he does retain that role, he'll be on a $15 chance, tab.com.au. That's in the Magic Millions two-year-old race for movie role. Unite and conquer the favourite there at $5. 13.53.53, the open line number, looking for your highlights and your lowlights and your memorable moments of 2018, a Big Sports Breakfast pack to give away. And along with that pack, you get the cap, the shirt, the sports year diary, the Winx book, and
a great prize.
The carton of Wingman. It's an outstanding prize. Sally's there. G'day, Sally.
Hey, good morning. Happy New Year to both of you.
And happy
Thank
New Year
you,
to you too, Sally.
A healthy and a happy one.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, yeah, the highlight, please, I'd like to say Winks and the Roosters, of course.
Winks and the Roosters, good double,
Sally.
Yeah.
Oh, yes. And the lowlight, I have to say, that poor man that was killed in the helicopter crash in Leicester.
Owner
of the football team.
Yes, yes. Yes.
That was very sad.
That was awful, wasn't it? Yeah.
And, well, that's it, really. But apart from that, it's been a great year.
Well, Sally, I think the mere fact you mentioned the Roosters suddenly piqued Jimmy's interest, and he's given three asterisks
triple
next to your name.
Sally.
So you're
triple
right
asterisk.
In the game here, Sally.
Are you a beer drinker, Sally?
I'm not, no. Right. You can have my beer.
I'll tell you what, fourth asterisk just going on to your name there, Sally. Well done.
Good call, Sally.
Thank you for the call.
Thanks for the call.
Yeah,
okay.
Keep them coming
Happy
in.
Happy New Year to you all.
And same to you, Sally.
Yeah. Now we're getting all these people saying, I'm out for my morning walk in Perth. Thought
Brilliant.
I would share
Perth.
My sneakers. Yeah. I'm not sure who that is, but anyway.
But it's 5:30 in Perth?
Yeah, that's right. Nice and early. I know Don from Carlton has been over there in Perth. So
that's right.
Maybe it's, although out early for a walk, don't think Don would be doing that. 13.53.53, the open line number. Hello, Dougie.
Hello, Jimmy. Hello, boys. Happy New Year.
And the same to you, mate.
You did a good job this year.
We're still batting on, Doug, which is a miracle in itself.
Doug,
anyway.
Could you send an email to management, Doug, please?
Yes, I think I will.
Good on you, Doug.
I was just going to tell him about Cliff Lyons and the other one. Cliff Lyons, he should be in the one-day match, shouldn't he?
Yeah, I think I'd put Cliff in my one-day side.
I wouldn't mind Nathan Lyon there too, actually.
Well, I mean, Cliff and or Nathan.
Yeah.
And Shane Warne, the flipper. Shane Warne bowling.
There's a lot of them, isn't there, with Shane Warne? And he was a bit like Muhammad Ali. He'd always have a different ball to come out. Muhammad Ali had different punches. Shane Warne would bring a different ball out every summer, didn't he? The Zoodle, the Flipper, or something like that.
And he'd talk about it all the time. So the other batsmen getting in their heads. Absolutely. Good on you, Dougie. A little bit left of centre there with Dougie's call. But, you know, we've got the Flipper, I think, that we first saw in 1994. Remember when Warney was bowling it? It might have been 92, 93. Whatever it was Richie Richardson at the MCG. Remember it?
It was almost submarine ball, wasn't it?
Exactly. Yeah. And Richie Richardson, that's when they used to go, oh, it's short, I'll go back to
and
it.
And it's hitting my ankle, basically.
He's jammed down on it, too late, bowled. Mm. And that was when you went, wow, this guy's a very special talent.
Yeah.
This guy's a very special talent.
Unbelievable.
Good one, Dougie. And look, I'm as big a Cliff Lyons fan as anyone. and, of course, you know what they... Apparently, Steve Menzies has got the beautiful house here on the Northern Beaches somewhere, and you know what they call it?
Is it the Lion Mansion or something?
The house that Cliff built.
Love it.
Like Babe Ruth.
Just running off Cliff Lyon all day.
Yankee Steve Stadium Menzies. Was the house that Babe built.
Oh,
this one was... But I just can't have him in my one-day side.
I
just can't quite have him in my one-day side.
Of course, he meant Nathan Lyon, who we all agree should be in the one-day team.
13.53.53, the open line number. That's the number to call if you'd like to be part of the quiz as well. I'm like most people here, and I've forgotten the score in the quiz.
Don't care anymore.
Doesn't matter. The only thing that was of interest, certainly to some of the listeners and to me, was the 13 plus. Imagine, and, but anyway, it doesn't matter. Call now if you'd like to be part of the quiz.
Sky Sports Radio talks harness racing all year round, starting New Year's Day. A special On the Pace will look back at 2018 and future harness racing in New South Wales. On the Pace, Tuesday morning from 10:30. Stay with Sky Sports Radio.
Punters, we bet you, you can't find a better betting app than the Tab app. With more live Sky racing than any other app, exclusive race previews and the biggest range of race replays on offer, you have everything you need to give you the best betting experience all in the palm of your hand. Plus, enjoy access to detailed form, cutting-edge data and expert analysis from the best in the business. Download the Tab app today and stay ahead of the game. Tab. Terms and conditions apply. See tab.com.au. Gamble responsibly.
Dynamic Syndications' Gay and Adrian introduce a fantastic filly and the first yearling at Tullock Lodge by Wongina. Snitzel's Group 1 winning son and now exciting first crop sire. Trained by Gay, Wongina was the fastest two-year-old in the stable and won the Group 1 Australian Guineas at 3. From Spooked, winning daughter of Group 2 winner Beat the Fade. Join our Dynamic Gay and Adrian team. 5% shares, just $7,625. For info, visit dynamicsyndications.com or call 1-800-619-999. AFSL 3360808.
Noted by Robertson, came all the way through to Salah, there's Mane, and Liverpool are 3-1 up.
On Sky Sports Radio, you're tuned to the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend with Jimmy and Ray.
Yeah, welcome back to the program. Hi, Ray, Jimmy and Tanya. All the best for a healthy, prosperous new year. Most memorable moment 2018 was not only Cooper Cronk playing in the grand final, but his tackle on that huge Storm prop Solomona while defending his goal line. Not only did he hit him with that injured shoulder, but he drove him backwards, then grimaced in pain. Toughness personified. That's from Ray.
Yeah, this is from Bryce. Morning, gents. Highlight, Stephanie Gilmore winning her seventh world title after being attacked and bashed outside her home several years ago.
Yes, yes.
A long road of recovery and rehabilitation. A great comeback by Stephanie. Lowlight, the lies, deceit and disappointment that Sandpaper Gate brought us. It's obviously the issue in South Africa. Mm. Most memorable, how could you go past Winks winning a fourth Cox Plate? Good one, Bryce.
That, well, Raymond right couldn't. Down there. Yeah, actually, Bryce, I'll put Bryce's SMS and put that down there and give how many Sally got, four asterisks, so Bryce will get three because
Bryce
Sally said
Roosters.
She'd give me
the wingman.
The wingman, so there
and
you go.
And she mentioned Roosters.
Yeah, and by the way, we've got this in from Don. Jimmy, the only thing you've got right all year. I'm most definitely not out walking at 5:30 a.m. in Perth. That Don from Carlton. Yeah, given your lifestyle choices, Don, I am not surprised by that. It's school holidays and Event Cinemas have got you and the whole family covered. Cinebuzz members see the best school holiday family fix from just $15, including Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse, Mary Poppins, Ralph Breaks the Internet, and How to Train Your Dragon, The Hidden World. Get your tickets now at eventcinemas.com.au. The kids will Grinch before Christmas. Mm-hmm. And keep an eye out for the sessions marked Family Saver to save these holidays. See, that's another inspiration. That's just got cash written all over it.
Climbing that corporate ladder.
I'll go player one because I know you like the even numbers.
It hasn't worked for me all year, so you want to mix it up just for something different?
Okay, go on. Do that.
It hasn't worked for me all year, has it? Hang on. I've thrown you off, haven't I?
Not really.
Tactic change.
I'm leading by 12.
I know, you've got the car, it doesn't matter now.
Yeah, that's right.
I think Paul's on the line. Paul, good morning. Are you ready to go here, Paul?
Yeah, mate, good morning, guys. How's it going?
Yeah, happy New Year to you, mate, and I reckon we can end this year on a winning note, which sets me up for a quiz win next year. So, Paul, best of luck here. Question number one, how many centuries have Australia made this summer in the Test Series against India?
Item zero.
Yeah, absolutely, hasn't it? Been woeful at top six. Good start, Paul. Here we go. Question number two. Which of these sports stars does not celebrate their birthday today? A, is it Tiger Woods? B, LeBron James? Or C, Usain Bolt?
I go Tiger.
It's Usain Bolt, so Tiger and LeBron. Their birthdays today.
It's amazing, isn't it?
Yeah.
Wow.
And question number three, Paul. Which A-League team is not playing on New Year's Day? A, is it the Wanderers? B, Melbourne City? Or C, Brisbane Roar?
I'll go Melbourne City.
It's
Brisbane Roar.
I'm glad you're in Melbourne City.
Hang in there, Paul. That's one. So
good on you, Paul. This might not work for you at all, Raymond. You're one from three there. Jimmy's on the line. G'day, Jimmy.
Hi, how we doing, boys?
Morning,
Jimmy.
Very well, mate. Let's go. Player two. How many centuries have India made this summer in the Test Series against Australia?
I reckon it's three, boys.
I reckon you're right.
Yes.
Cheteshwar Pujara has made two, and Virat Kohli made that very good one over there in Perth. Good on you. Good start there, Jimmy. Question two, which famous Manchester United icon was born on New Year's Eve? Is it A, Bobby Charlton, B, Sir Alex Ferguson, or C, George Best?
I reckon it's... I think Sir Alex, isn't it?
Oh, stop the fight, Jimmy. Well done.
I'll tell you what, it would have been appropriate if George Best had been born on New Year's Eve. Would have explained his partying ways, but you are quite right.
Well done,
and
Jimmy.
As a result of that, I think it's only appropriate, Jimmy, that you finish with a win for
Jimmy
2018.
I'm talking about
in the third person there.
Yeah, okay.
Mate, stay on the line, Jimmy. We're going to send you out a double pass, courtesy of Event Cinemas at George Street. Where are you at?
I'm at Arncliffe, boys.
Arncliffe. So what would be the nearest Event Cinemas?
Oh, mate, I wouldn't have a clue.
And you know what? Who cares? Go on a trip into town.
Everywhere.
Go to Event Cinemas here. I don't even know what the score is here, Ray. Whatever.
It's a massacre. That's what it is. Humiliation.
The only score that I am fully aware of...
You've got with one carton
of,
already.
Cartons of beer three to me.
Is it down to two already? One.
Well, that's right,
gone.
Two. Yeah, I've still got the Swindler Pale Ale there ready to go.
You tried that yet?
No, I haven't.
Now, that wasn't cheap. So you had to go out and thought about buying the cheapest on special cartons. That one was right up there, up mark. And I thought, I'll give us one to Jimmy and just see what he thinks.
Given the relationship that we've built with Wingman Beer, who, by the way, are very, very excited with the partnership that we've developed here.
Apparently it's going okay, James. Explain more.
I keep getting contacted by people saying, I'm at the local celebration store and I can't find any Wingman. So they're getting inquiries left, right and centre around the great state of New South Wales. They are looking to up the ante.
Said drop is outstanding.
Yeah. By the way, so am I, Wingman. So if you could deliver more cartons of beer, I'm ready to up the ante as well.
You can go out and buy a couple if you want.
1353 is the open line number. We're going to take a break. We're looking for highlights, lowlights and memorable moments of 2018. Up next, Stuart Clark.
Welcome in the new year with a bang on Sky Sports Radio. New Year's Day, we're off to Randwick for the Tattersalls Club Cup. Plus, the Sapphire City has the $35,000 Inverell Cup and shorts meeting. Racing HQ with special guest Glenn Munsey will chat with the key players, plus have all the previews. Start the year with a Wednesday from 6:30 on Racing HQ, Sky Sports Radio. Sky Sports Radio and the New South Wales Police remind all travellers to think safety while on the roads this festive season. Police are targeting speeding, drink and drug driving and mobile phone use. Do the right thing, and don't let safety take the back seat. Lane Beachley for Planet Ark.
We're celebrating 15 years of cartridges for Planet Ark. Since the program was born, over 38 million cartridges have been saved from landfill and turned into road surfaces, pens and garden beds. Like other teenagers, Cartridges for Planet Ark continues to grow thanks to you. So keep up the great effort. Drop off your used cartridges at your participating retailer or sign up for a free collection box for your work. Visit cartridges.planetark.org.
Be rewarded at Panthers with Panthers' new loyalty program, Panthers Rewards. There's never been a better time to be a member of the Panthers family. For only $5, Jim, members receive over $1,000 worth of rewards. Earn Panthers points every time you make a purchase and redeem your points throughout the club, including at all restaurants and bars. If you're not already a Panthers member, join now for just $5 and be rewarded. If you are a member already, renew now. Details at panthers.com.au. Did I tell you about Christmas lunch?
Yeah, you did. Where'd you have it at?
They put aside the convention areas upstairs.
Yeah.
So it wasn't one of the restaurants.
Yeah.
Panthers F, and my son and I went there.
Mm.
It was packed.
And
the food was outstanding.
Yeah,
really
right.
Good. So easy way of doing Christmas lunch.
Can I ask you a very personal question, Ray?
You can. You will anyway, if I said no.
Do you pay full whack when you go to Panthers, given you are an ambassador?
Really? I certainly do, yeah. And
you're an ambassador of the club, though.
I'm not.
Well, you did in the live roads, didn't
no,
you?
No, that's part of our job.
Right.
No, I certainly do. And that
there was two options. There was the expensive one and the not so expensive one.
And which way did you go?
I went the top shelf.
And what price did you pay? The full price?
$130 a head.
Right. Mm. Okay.
And it was really good.
A bloke that earns as much money as you,
mate. The man lives in a mansion in where is it? Carrington.
South. 1353 53 is the open line number. We're still getting some nominations that are coming through. By the way, Vicky from Port Macquarie.
How intelligent are our listeners? Vicky from Port Macquarie, brilliant. She says, hi, guys. Did I mention that I follow the Roosters and congrats to Jimmy for the quiz win? Vicky from Port Macquarie.
Triple asterisks.
I think there's
Vicky.
Five asterisks going there, Vicky. That's very good news.
Let's go to the open line. Noel is there. G'day, Noel.
G'day, guys. Happy New Year to everyone there. Hope 2019 is a wonderful year for everyone there.
Good right on you, Noel.
Right back at you, Noel. Yep.
Okay. My highlight for the year would have to be Jeff Horn putting Mundine on his back in that match.
Right. Yeah.
The low light would have to be the NRL players, Dumb and Dummers.
Yes.
And the memorable moment would have to be the Invictus Games this year, with what those athletes has gone through and what they have achieved is an absolute credit to them and their family.
Great call, Noel. Really well done. Gee, Invictus Games was great, wasn't it? Yeah, and three really good nominations.
You know what, Noel? Here. That's thoughtful, expressed clearly and concisely. No mention of the Roosters, however, you are now equal favourite with Sally.
Good call, Noel.
And by the way, it's a cracking prize. A carton of Wingman, a sports year diary, a Winx book, and a Big Sports Breakfast cap and shirt.
It's a great prize.
It's a hell of a prize to finish up. 1353 53, the open line number. Let's go to Ron on the line. G'day, Ronnie.
Happy New Year, Jimmy, Ryan, and Tanya, and gang.
And Happy New Year to you too, Ron.
Oh, thank you. Highlights, well, obviously, Zach, Rui, and Joe.
Oh, your man, Zach Purton.
Zach Purton, yeah.
Winning the Hong Kong Jockeys Premiership.
Yeah, that was the pure theatre of that last day of their racing.
Yeah.
So, lowlights, this isn't sour grapes. I think that Wild Oats seems to waive the rules.
That protest was dismissed, wasn't it?
Yes.
She's kept the line on us.
It didn't have the thing on. Anyway, I just want to... Definitely the highlight, or the standout anyway, really memorable.
Yep.
Getting at was, it was mentioned before, but it was Steph Gilmore equaling Lane's world surfboard riding a record of 7 wins and more to come.
Yeah, well, that's the thing about it. It's a good point.
Yeah.
She's not done yet. Steph Gilmore. And for her to come back, I think someone else made mention of the assault that she suffered a couple of years ago. Was it was up on the Gold Coast, wasn't it?
It was at home, yeah.
So,
it was at King's Cliff, yeah, actually.
Right.
Yeah. Nah, good one.
Anyway, I'll speak to you next year and back lots of winners.
Good on you, Ron. All the best. Happy New Year, mate.
And be nice and warm up at Moree where Ron is. So there you go. But, yeah, Steph Gilmore, she's only 30. She's only 30 years of age.
Yeah, so her and Sally Fitzgibbon, they're great ambassadors for the sport, aren't they?
Won her first in 2007, then had the break from 2014 until this year where she had the different... issues.
She's fought her way back. So.
Yeah, and it's a great story. Good on you, Ron. That's a good nomination as well. Tell you what, can I just make special mention today of the quality of the callers?
Yep, brilliant. Yeah.
Usually they're rubbish. On
what?
The...
What are you saying?
Just joking. The only one that I'd like to give an improvement award to would be Dougie, who suggested that...
Doug's a loyal listener.
I know he is.
Every Sunday. And...
I know. However, having Cliff Lyons as part of his one-day squad... I think it was a little bit of bridge too far,
well,
Roman.
There's a bit out there.
A little bit out there.
What's Wayne got for us? Wayne's on the line. Good morning, Wayne.
G'day, boy.
How are you? What do you got for us, Wayne?
Hey, Dinny, did Ray have a straight look on his face when he said he doesn't pay when he does pay when he goes to Panthers?
It's funny you mention it. Ray is generally a very honest bloke, but I did sense that there's some sort of deal being done there with Panthers. And if not... More fool you, Ray Thomas.
No, I paid full freight, as I always do, Wayne. And I've got to say, Wayne, the Christmas lunch, as I said, was really, really good. And
he had a bit of a quiver on his lip, did he?
Well, this is the thing, Wayne. You know, it then it would allow him to retain his honesty. You know, I'm not compromised in any way, shape or form. And then if the meal was no good, he could say the meal was no good.
I wouldn't say it anyway, but...
But he's doubled up.
Yeah.
You've not only played full whack, but then you've given them a massive rap.
Well, it was good. You've got to give people a rap. And people worked hard there on Christmas Day serving. There was a massive function room. So overall, Wayne, I highly recommend it. And I paid full freight 100%.
Hey, I got something about them two mares that were in Poland that last race.
Oh, yeah.
Yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well, we had a race here Christmas Day, and there was eight mares in it, and there was three of them in foal.
Where was that at, Wayne?
In the backyard at home.
Just out of interest, Wayne, who won?
It was Ed Ledger's line. Auntie Mary got the cash, I think.
Auntie Mary!
Yes.
Now, was Auntie Mary one of the ones in foal, so to speak?
No, she was one of the rural old mares that were in it.
Oh, my God. Wayne, good luck for you today.
I just hope
Auntie Mary's not listening.
Exactly.
Have a good day, boys.
Good on you, Wayne. Good call.
Tell you what, Wayne.
Comic relief.
A little bit off topic.
Three mares in the backyard. That's very good.
That is very good, Auntie Mary.
We've got Steve on the line. Steve, good morning.
Good morning, boys. How are you? Happy New Year.
And the Happy New Year to you too and your family, Steve.
Okay, thank you. I don't think anybody's nominated these people, but I've always duly noted the achievements of the women's cricket team.
Yes,
the women's soccer team.
Yes.
And the women's touch football team. And the sevens.
Oh, the rugby sevens?
Yes.
The rise and rise
of the women in the representing Australia.
Yeah, the rise and rise of women's sports, Steve.
Yes. Mm.
Yeah, good nomination.
We had someone mention during the course of the week on the Big Sports Breakfast Summer Edition that they felt that women's sport viewing numbers on television will overtake men's in the next 4 or 5 years. I don't agree with that. But what I think has been shown over the course of the last 2, maybe 3 years, Ray, is that if you retain quality in what you're offering, and this is a concern for the AFLW, is that I don't think there are enough good players to have 10 or 12 sides. Whereas in the rugby league, what they did, they said, you know what, we're going to condense it, we're going to put the best players in four teams and maintain the quality. Now, you don't get as many games, quite obviously, but if you sit down and watch a rugby league, the quality is there. If you watch a WBBL game now, I think people will be surprised at the quality. Like, previously there were two or three good players in a team.
Where you're going there, because the cricket's been really good.
That's what I mean. Now I think there's eight players, Steve, in a team that are of really good quality.
Yeah, absolutely.
Absolutely, yeah.
Good call, Steve.
Okay, all the best, boys.
Happy New Year, mate.
Good on you, mate. We do appreciate it. And here's another SMS that's come in. Hey, boys, I'd love a dollar for every time Ray has said to Jimmy this year, you can't say that.
We're treading on dangerous ground, aren't we, sometimes?
At times. But there's no problem with that. 135353 is the open line number. I think Dougie probably meant Nathan Lyon. That's from Ross at Tamworth. Do you think, Ross? Fair dinkum.
This is from our good friend Master Monkey. Nice to hear from Highlight Sunday mornings. Thanks, Master Monkey. Low light, though. Mrs. Monkey putting a Track Me app on her phone without me knowing it, Master Monkey. Let's do it all again in 2019. Love you, Cincy.
Master Monkey, if you could let us know before the end of the program, where is the most unusual place that Mrs. Monkey has found you in 2018 with her Track Me app on your phone? I think that would be enlightening.
And this is a really good one. No name to it, just H there. So highlights of the year, all great moments, all three racing codes have given us. Fair enough. The low light, Ty England's injury. All the best to him, and the family bravery in racing is not only shown by humans but the animals as well. They all love the challenge and love to win. Yeah, good text in that. It's a really good point. Some sobering news came out during the week, Jimmy, about Ty England's extent of his injuries. It's fair to say he's got a long road to recovery. At the moment, all our thoughts and prayers are out to Ty and his family, and wish him all the very, very best.
Well said, Roman. Absolutely, that is the case. But, Jimmy, Ray is a member of the Panthers Club. He's committed by putting his money where his mouth is. Yeah, that's
very
right.
Good point.
$5. This is coming
hang
in
on,
from.
Hang on, pay my way.
This is coming in from Paramat. Whereas you just put your money in your wallet and keep it there. Are you a member of any club apart from the Jimmy Smith Admirers Club? Fully paid up member of that club, Paramat, chairman as well, funnily enough. But am I a member of another club? I'm just trying to think. Well, I know.
Member of the Rabbits and the.
No, I'm not. But
why not? You play for these clubs.
Austin is a member of the Roosters.
Okay.
River is a member of the Sharkies. And Avery, yet to be determined. She, I don't know where she's. She's
where's
all
her
allegiance
is light, isn't
well,
it?
Well, they change every week.
Okay.
It's a woman's prerogative, Ray. So I take your point, Paramat, but at this point, no. Apart from the Jimmy Smith Admirers Club, no other club that I'm a member of. 1353-53, the open line number. Now, we've got a bit of a treat for listeners after 9 o'clock, Raymond, and that is that our legend of the game has been providing us with some... Well, we
extraordinary highlights.
We think outstanding moments of 2018, and not because of who's interviewing them, but because of the subject matter. And as a result of that, as a treat for us and the listeners, we've got interviews from the best bits of Wally Lewis, Shane Gould, and Andrew Simons coming up after the break. It goes for about 12 minutes. Just incredible. These absolute sporting stars. And what they were to share with us and the listeners throughout 2018.
So how are we going to do this? Are we going to intersperse between each of those replays?
Yes. There we go. No. And what? Look, to be honest, don't know. Whatever Hamish, panel operator, has done. However, this all should have been sorted out in
Correct.
The production meeting, which, I have it on good authority, you guys had during the week.
No, one team.
And you I wasn't included.
One team. No, we text you and talk to
you. Oh, yeah, text, just in the middle of a production meeting. What sort of mood are you coming in on Sunday? Which I thought, wow, the contribution they're looking for from me.
No, you're straight on the front foot.
1353-53 is the open.